It's the Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O on Star 88.
Here we go!
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
This Sunday is Mother's Day.
All right, give your mother a kiss and I'll kick your teeth in.
Come give your mama a kiss.
Calm down, mama's boy.
Lay it on me, mamacita.
It's me, your mother.
It's tough for me to travel so much just because I'm a mom.
Happy Friday.
It's showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. It's not Mother's Day, but we won't be here on Sunday.
I mean,
to say Happy Mother's Day.
Right. It's basically Mother's Day.
That's right, everybody.
Basically.
That's right.
Shout out to all the moms out there. I'm sure to love you.
Nice.
Spinning it up in the studio right now.
Yeah. This was one of my first tapes.
Yeah?
Yep.
Mom! Mom! Mommy! Mommy! Mommy!
Doesn't really go with the song. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Friday, May 12th, 6:11 in the a.m.
Yes. High today of 81 degrees.
Oh, big show today. Ginormous. Welcome to the program, everybody. It's Friday. Love Fridays. I believe our coaches will be in from Bear Canyon this
morning. That's
right. Bear Canyon CrossFit. Amy and Beck. They haven't been in a couple weeks, so we'll talk some fitness and health. Gonna be a good time. Gonna be a great time. We also have Mike from Big Daddy Weave on the show this morning.
Boom.
Where's Big Daddy Weave from?
Nashville. I don't know.
Nashville. We'll find out. See what's up. Big Daddy Weave gonna be in town on Saturday night. Chris Tomlin presents Worship Night in America. With Big Daddy Weave and Zach Williams, Jason Barton. It's going to be great, guys.
Yeah.
Star88.fm/events for tickets and all the information on the show.
They're from Alabama.
Alabama?
They met in college at the University of Mobile.
Mobile?
Mike Weaver is the lead singer. He's been serving, as a worship leader in Pensacola, Florida. He came to the university at the urging of his pastor and studied voice.
Huh. Is it? I know a Michael from Mobile, Alabama. I went to Washington, D.C. when I was a junior in high school and met this guy on our bus named Michael. And he used to sing to us on the bus. Might be the same Michael.
Are you being serious right now?
Pull up a picture of him.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
I'm dead serious.
This dude.
That's him. No, it's not him. And Michael used to talk like this. Hey, everybody, I'm Michael from Mobile, Alabama.
What if that's him? That's right there.
Well, he's a black guy. Michael is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's
not him.
Definitely not him.
No. Hi, everybody. I'm going to sing you a song right now.
That was that. That was like McConaughey. That was weird.
Yeah. That's how he talked.
You gonna sell me a Lincoln?
Yeah. He was so soothing. And seriously, we were all just sitting on the bus just listening to Michael from Mobile, Alabama. Yeah, Mike from Big Daddy Weave will be on the show at 9:45 this morning. Get you guys all pumped up for the show. Worship Night in America. Steve Harvey. We talked about the whole Steve Harvey thing yesterday in the news. And for those of you that don't get the podcast or you don't get to hear the whole show, we read a story in the news about Steve Harvey sending out a mass email to his staff telling them not to bother him in his dressing room or when he's what were the other ones? When he was just walking
down the hall or from the bathroom, coming out of the bathroom. Yeah. Do not like try and catch up with him. Do not ambush him. Do not wait for him. Do not approach him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's,
Steve Harvey, he has something to say about.
Really?
Yeah. He weighed in on why.
Okay.
He sent out the mass email. Because we kind of thought, you know what? I bet you anything it's one of those situations where he probably is such a nice guy. He probably sits there and talks to people all the time. Mm-hmm. And people take advantage of him. It's got to be that situation where he finally had to put his foot down. Like, you know what? This is starting to affect my life, my work, because people aren't respecting me.
Yeah.
And we'll find out.
I mean, we were Steve Harvey'd yesterday.
We were Steve Harvey'd. I was Steve Harvey'd a few times when I was walking down the hall, I couldn't get to the bathroom to save my life. And I don't know if we both were kind of in this situation
my
yesterday.
My teeth were floating yesterday.
Yeah. We were talking to this lovely girl yesterday for a little bit, and then we were both on our way to the bathroom after the show.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And 40 minutes later, we still hadn't gone to the bathroom. Well, finally, we got done talking, and then I tried to go to the bathroom again, and somebody just bolted out of their office like, oh, my gosh, I got to talk to you. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Because what do you do?
Yeah, I'm too nice to say be like, oh, right. I can't. Hold on.
You can't just like,
yeah.
Time out. TT break.
Right. Right. It's just, that's not nice.
TT timeout.
Hold on. Just hold that thought. I'll be right back. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I can hold it, but that's not healthy. That is not healthy to do that. It's not like I'm gonna pee my pants. It's not gonna happen.
Oh, I will. I have no control.
Oh,
no control.
Man, oh, God.
But it's true. So, yeah, I'm excited to hear what Steve Harvey had to say. Because for real, yesterday I found myself being Steve Harvey'd a couple times.
That's the new thing. You got to use that at work.
That's seriously, if you didn't hear the show yesterday, go download the podcast. Yesterday's episode is called We Got Steve Harvey'd.
Is it really? I love that. That's yes.
I don't know who does the podcast, but that guy's hilarious.
That guy's funny.
That dude's funny. Yeah, yesterday's episode's called We Got Steve Harvey'd. Did we just turn that into a verb? Maybe.
That's good. That is just good. We also kicked off Shock Therapy Live yesterday, and it got really uncomfortable in here.
Okay.
So we discussed some pretty crazy things.
We did.
Things that you wouldn't think we would discuss here on this station. And we threw down hard. Pastor Nate Heitzig came in, joined us. It was a good time. I'm glad that we're doing that again.
Mm.
What else? Of course, it's kind of a Mother's Day edition of the Morning Invasion. So we're going to track down our moms this morning. Mom, you better pick up when I call. I did that mom's list yesterday for her, and she texted me and she was like, I can't believe you remember all of those.
That's funny.
Because I started naming off all these memories.
You
that
did.
I had. And
I was proud of you.
Why I miss my mom. And I do. I had a really good childhood growing up. Really did. It was just a good childhood. My parents didn't fight very often. I mean, they fought like a normal married couple, but they were never screaming at the top of their lungs, throwing things or abusing each other. They were
right.
They were normal and they took care of my brother and I really well.
Yeah.
They always fed us really good. I mean, look at me. Still, man, just love to eat.
Ugh.
And was raised in Montana in a beautiful town, Madison Valley. Oof. So yeah, I had a good childhood. My parents did a really good job. My mom still is such a hardworking lady.
Right.
She works at Costco so they can have insurance. And because they own their own business. They've owned their own body shop, junkyard for over 40 years.
Wow.
And, you know, to have your own insurance, it's expensive when you own a business. So my mom, she works at Costco and she's always been this way, though. Ever since I was a little baby, she's always kind of worked at the meat market or at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Just always looked up to my mom because she just was a hard worker.
Yeah.
She always took care of us, made sure we were fed and clothed. And whenever we asked for something, she always tried to get it for us. You know, we were spoiled at times. So we'll track down my mom this morning and pay tribute. I might have put together a few.
Oh gosh,
a few songs for everybody this morning. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm excited.
Your mom, I'm sure she'll pick up this morning.
She better.
Did you? I totally forgot. Did you record your kids yesterday?
Oh man,
I know. This morning I was going, oh, I forgot to do it.
I forgot to.
We were talking about phrases that your mom used to say to you, and we had a whole topic yesterday, and so we thought we would record our kids talking about that, talking about phrases that they hear mom say all the time.
Yeah, dude,
we forgot. Well, maybe if we call them early enough, we can get them on the phone. Well, I guess we'd have to call our wives.
Yeah.
We're calling our moms, not our wives. But we could call our wives because they're mothers too. My wife is such a good mom. She, talk about sacrifice. My wife, she was a stay-at-home mom for over 10 years, and she did it because she wanted the kids to not have to go to daycare. She wanted to be there to see everything and to just be involved in their lives. And that's tough. Being a stay-at-home mom is not an easy job. And she sacrificed that. And I just, I'm glad that my kids have someone like Leslie, because there are some pretty terrible moms out there. We heard that on the live line yesterday. Some of the phrases that were texted in were, well man, I feel bad for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to my wife. She's a great mom. This is something we'll discuss this morning. There's an upcoming Christian movie apparently loaded with a bunch of profanity.
Whoa, really?
What is this? There's a faith-based movie on the way called Generational Sins.
Okay.
And it's going to be closer to Quentin Tarantino than God's Not Dead, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh man. You were so proud of that.
It's my new laugh this morning, guys.
Oh man.
We'll discuss that this morning, because we've kind of who's that guy you like that makes movies, that horror movies?
Oh yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Talking about Scott Derrickson.
Scott Derrickson, that's right.
He directed Doctor Strange.
Scott Derrickson.
But he doesn't necessarily make, quote, Christian films. He makes films as a Christian that showcase spirituality, faith.
This is billed as a Christian movie.
Wow.
This is a faith-based movie. And we'll talk about this. It has an R rating. A Christian faith-based movie with an R rating.
All right.
That's never happened, right?
I don't think so, man. No, I mean, because you look at the Book of Eli, and that was R-rated. I thought that was a phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, but that wasn't a faith-based.
That wasn't a Christian film, but it was definitely a Christian film.
That was so good. Welcome to the program. Good morning. Are you there? Oh, I guess it's got to turn me on. There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys.
Bill.
Happy Mother's Day, Bill.
Happy Mother's Day. How are you?
Make sure you tell your beautiful bride we said Happy Mother's Day.
I'll do that. So I'm listening remotely. I'm in Pittsburgh right now.
Beautiful.
And heading to Baltimore to go to Albuquerque.
Weird.
Go figure.
Okay.
And just wanted to say I miss you guys. I being on a different time zone, it's like all I'm stuck with is podcasts, because where I'm working, I can't use my phone to listen. And so what's been happening?
Oh, let's see. How long you been gone? You've been gone all week.
Shock Therapy Live came back yesterday.
2 weeks. Jeez.
Shock Therapy Live.
Before that, we interviewed a girl from Days of Our Lives.
And The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Day before that. What else have we done? It's just been a
You haven't missed.
Weeks,
you haven't missed a whole lot, Bill. Why have you been gone for 2 weeks? Just work?
Work. Yeah.
Wow.
Work.
Passion of the Christ was rated R, by the way.
Oh, good call.
Touche.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
I didn't have anything to say.
Oh, no, we were just talking about this. We're going to discuss this, but there's an upcoming faith-based Christian movie with a rated R.
But not rating. Because it's a pirate movie. Like,
yeah.
Because of salty language. And I don't mean salty, the singing songbook.
Well, there might be a little more in there besides just salty language. I'm just saying.
And people are having a problem with it.
Well, I don't know. That's what we're going to discuss. It. Do you think that most Christians are going to have a problem with this type of movie?
I would say some, but not me.
You think the majority?
I think I hear more R-rated stuff on the job than I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's life.
Yeah, that's life. But when you slap on the
Jesus fish
based movie, this is a Christian movie. I mean, look at some of the artists, the musicians out there that throw in cuss words.
Yeah,
like King's Kaleidoscope.
Mm-hmm.
POD did it,
and some Christians flipped.
The backlash was crazy.
Yeah,
and the thing is that if it's showing real life. I see the rating only so that you know not to bring the kiddos,
yeah.
Or kids aren't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is we face this stuff day in and day out. We shouldn't be shocked by anything. If we're going to portray real life, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
So, because it's all about me, always.
It's always about you.
Yeah.
Well, get home safe, Bill.
Okay.
All right, man.
You ready to dump me? Please dump me.
Okay,
I'll let you guys hang up on me.
Producers just dumped everything.
Oh, everything's gone. They just
love you, man.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. I
love you. Love that guy. What a good dude. 585 live. If you want to text into the show, 585-5483. You can also call us. We love hearing your voice. 338-3700. When we come back, we'll do some headlines. We'll check the roads out there. Got a bunch of stuff on Mother's Day. How many classic mom things does your mom do? 5 simple and free ways to impress your mom on Mother's Day. Oh, and the real 2017 name of the year. I got a list of some really crazy names that people started naming their kids this year.
Oh, good.
We'll discuss that.
Hogarth was number one.
Hogarth! Oh, man. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Good morning.
Time once again for things you don't want to hear from your mom on Mother's Day.
Who else is... Oh, Thor. That's my favorite.
Thor
is your favorite.
Oh, my gosh. I can't hardly look at
that. Stop it, Mom. What are you doing? Stop it.
Well, come on. I bet you can't even look at him.
Well, that's true. Handsome. He's a pretty handsome guy.
You could have one of those... What do you call those? The bromance?
Mom! I agree with everything you're saying, but we're on Christian radio.
What
you can't
does that
say
mean?
That.
Come on.
You know what? It's all right with the Lord for you to have a romance to hire someone.
Okay.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Okay. All right.
This has been Things You Don't Want to Hear from Your Mom on Mother's Day.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
President Trump signed an executive order calling for a commission to look into alleged voter suppression last year during the election.
Republican Committee Chair Richard Burr asked acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe if he ever heard former Director James Comey tell the president he was not the subject of an investigation.
Can't comment.
The study found a 20% to 50% increase in the risk of a heart attack after taking ibuprofen, naproxen, and other NSAID painkillers for as little as 1 week.
Aetna announcing it's pulling out of health care exchanges in 2 more states, Delaware and Nebraska.
Workers in New Orleans have removed another Confederate monument. The statue of former Confederate President Jefferson Davis has been taken down.
A stamp might cost 50 cents if the Postal Service wins approval to hike the price by a penny.
The U.S. is expected to extend its cabin ban on laptops and other electronic devices.
Fewer workers applied for jobless benefits last week, and the number of people collecting unemployment checks fell to the lowest level since 1988.
Tell me about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Big Black. It's Friday, guys.
It is Friday.
May 12th.
High today of 81 degrees.
I said May 12th. I didn't say the time.
Oh. You're right.
It's 6:35.
It's too late. It's too late. High today of 81 degrees. Traffic! Whoa, bro, take a look at the roads. There's some new construction, dog. The roadway is reduced to one lane. Academy between Ventura and Eubank. That's new. Wyoming Boulevard south of Montgomery. Right lane's closed. It's new. Candelaria Road at 12th Street. Right lane closed.
That's new.
You stole my line, man.
Sorry, man.
That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yeah.
Guys, it's on Sunday. Make sure you call your moms. Coming up at 7, we'll talk to a couple moms. Amy and Beck from Bear Canyon CrossFit. They're coaches. They're mothers. We'll talk to them about your health. If you have any questions, by the way, about your health or working out, well, let us know. We're always here. Mm-hmm. We like to throw them out to the ladies. They're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
585 Live, you can text in. 8 o'clock, we'll call our moms. And Sam Swan will be here. He's a great mom. He's a great mom. Now, have you met his wife yet?
Brenda? I've never met
her. I haven't either. Maybe we'll call her. Oh. Or maybe we'll call Sam's mom. Is Sam's mom still alive?
I don't know. Why are you asking me all these questions?
Sorry, man.
Gosh.
Sorry, bro. Mike from Big Daddy Weave will be on the show. 9:45.
Yeah.
Talk about Worship Night in America, which is tomorrow night, Santa Ana Star Center. And we'll discuss this upcoming Christian movie that is rated R. And, I mean, it's loaded not only with profanity, but there's some other things, and they're calling it, no, this is a faith-based film. So we're going to discuss that a little after 8 o'clock.
Dun, dun, dun.
And maybe you've been Steve Harvey'd, and we're not talking about Miss Columbia. Now, there's another Steve Harvey'd quote, verb? Phrase that's been going around. We discussed it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. A lot of Mother's Day stuff. Classic mom things. Does your mom do these classic mom things? And 7 siblings that all got adopted together just in time for Mother's Day. It's a beautiful story. We got a big show. I'll be surprised if we get it all done today.
We won't. Wow. We won't. You know why?
Why?
Friday! You never know what's going to happen on a Friday.
That's true. Don't scare me like that.
Okay. You know, we've talked about our boy Tim Tebow a few times.
Timmy T?
People didn't give him a chance in the world. Well, guess what?
Talk to me.
The New York Post is claiming the Mets are considering promoting Tim Tebow from single-A baseball. Oh, yeah. That's all the music I get for
that's
that.
That's all you get, man.
Dude, yeah, the move, if it happens, likely would occur after the All-Star game in July, so we're still a ways off from that. Yeah. Tebow, he hit 2 home runs in the first 3 games of the year.
He's doing great.
None since then. But he's got an 849 OPS over the last 16 games.
Is that pretty good?
Which is, yes. Dude, yes.
Is that major league numbers?
I mean, he's playing against single-A pitching.
True. Never mind. So, I'm gonna shut up. I don't know anything about baseball.
But Obviously, his presence has been a boon for attendance at the games played by his team, and that next team that he, you know, moves up to would benefit greatly from that. And so, of course, I'm sure the Mets double or triple A team is just frothing at the mouth thinking of what that will do for them.
Huh.
Financially, anyways. So, yeah, it seems like the Tebow's doing really well. And so they're probably going to move him up.
That's cool.
I'm excited. All right. Here's some crazy stuff. I feel like we can't go a single day without talking about a plane incident.
I know, right? It's a hot
topic. I mean, at least it wasn't a flight attendant this time. Cell phone video caught a fight that erupted on a Southwest plane that had just landed at Hollywood Burbank Airport Sunday morning. The flight arrived from Dallas around 11 a.m. Michael Krause from Newberry Park heard the commotion started rolling. He said two men were wrestling and throwing punches.
Oh.
During the scuffle, a woman tried to pull away the man on top of the other man. And everybody was like deplaning. And then it just gets crazy.
I'm watching the fight.
You can see a Southwest flight attendant.
I drank some booze, now you're black and blue, and they can't tear me away.
Oh, man.
I don't care if it's your stinking honeymoon today.
Is that what happened? Did somebody get all wasted? And
I guess so. In the video, you see a Southwest flight attendant trying to break up the fight. But when the man on the bottom suddenly picks up the smaller man, they fall into the seats in front of them and right on top of the woman and the flight attendant.
Wow.
Punches continue to fly until other passengers were able to break them up. Burbank police say one of the men was arrested for assault and battery. It's unclear what started the fight or if they even knew each other. One person was injured but refused treatment, continued on their journey. Yeah, dude, the video got a lot of attention because they said the flight attendant deserves some credit too.
Huh.
So they wanted to post a video on their Facebook page. She was running down the aisle toward danger, and then she got trapped. She did a wonderful job. God bless her, and I hope she's okay.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Come fight with me. Come
This flight attendant like rushed towards the danger. Unreal. What is happening, man?
That's crazy. See, I think this has been happening all the time. I just think that it's in the news now because it's such a big issue.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of, in yet another horror story about the state of flying currently, a nurse from Kansas City said she was forced to pee in a cup in her seat.
What?
Because the flight attendant would not allow her to use the lavatory.
Let me see. I don't know if I still have a clip.
She posted her account early Saturday morning on Facebook after, please do not have a clip. She became frustrated at her inability to get anyone at United Airlines to acknowledge her complaint. United refused to take my call. Now I can't sleep and just keep thinking about how wrong this is.
Wow.
She encouraged her Facebook friends to share her story. Her experience happened the same day that the 69-year-old doctor, David Dow, was injured while being forced off a United flight that was overbooked. But her story didn't get any recognition because, you know, obviously there were much bigger stories happening.
Right.
At the same time, after explaining that she had an overactive bladder and would either need to use the restroom or pee in a cup, she was handed a cup by flight attendants. They said they would not allow her to get out of her seat and use the bathroom until the captain had turned off the seatbelt sign.
That's crazy.
Quote, "You would think peeing in a cup on an airplane in front of my family and strangers would be the worst part of this story. However, the way I was treated by flight attendants afterwards was worse," end quote. Apparently, the attendants shamed her by saying they'd be filing a report that she would have to speak to the pilot after landing. She said they also told her they would have to call a hazmat team to clean up the row of seats where she had just used the cup. She said her subsequent efforts to reach the customer service department at United were unsuccessful. "As an emergency room nurse, I completely understand having a bad day on the job and having to deal with undesirable bodily fluids. What I don't understand is zero customer service. If I treated a patient this poorly, I would surely have consequences.
Yeah, no kidding, right? What's the deal with flight attendants just treating customers like that?
United has responded. Quote,
I'm so sorry.
Initial reports from our flight attendants indicate that Ms. Harper attempted to visit the lavatory on final descent and was instructed to remain seated with the seatbelt fastened per FAA regulations. The situation described by Ms. Harper and our employees is upsetting for all involved. We've reached out to her and our flying partner, Mesa Airlines, to better understand what occurred.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It's pretty crazy what's happening. But here's the thing, man. I know we're like in this culture of just pull out the phone and film, but sometimes it can get frustrating for employees.
You got another one?
And backfire.
Come yeah. fly with me. Let's fly. Let's
Imagine fly. You're doing your job and an irate customer just decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull out my phone and film you. Especially if you work at an airline, this has become par for the course. Obviously, because airline employees are told to follow rules or else. It's also because many of the rules were written by someone who believes, you know, in some crazy things. Well, it's led to awful incidents, obviously. Delta Airlines employee threatening the doctor. I mean, we've talked about it already this morning. We already have a few incidents this morning. Well, another Delta employee is actually accused of slapping a cell phone out of a passenger's hand.
Oh, what?
A 12-year-old passenger's hand.
What?
Yeah, that's another story. I don't have time for that one. Here's a new video. This time, a passenger appears to have demanded a supervisor be called to the gate because he's unhappy at the service offered by the Delta gate agent. But here's the thing. This time, the gate agent fires right back. She totally hams it up on the video with crazy sarcasm straight to the camera. She explains she cannot accommodate the passenger's wishes because the flight is full. Obviously, she's not happy with the passenger's attitude in the video. Quote, we asked for a supervisor, ladies and gentlemen, and they're on their way. He tries to interrupt her complaining about her sarcasm. However, she prefers to state her case, saying his family is being accommodated across row 29, but one of them has to sit in 30A since the flight is full. They were not being cooperative, and they were demanding that the entire family sit in the same row. So she just decided to ham it up and tell the entire story because chances are this is going to end up on Facebook somewhere.
Yeah, right.
So she thought she would at least get the truth out there. Now, of course, we don't know the whole story. What you can see in the video, though, is that the airline employee is tired of a passenger whipping out a cell phone and filming their every word and move. That camera's like right in her face.
Well, yeah.
Ugh. Yes, some passengers are impossible. Sadly, airlines have brought this upon themselves by doing some crazy things. But, man, next time you're flying, let's try and use some respect.
Yeah, I think we need to get we could just change. We should start Whiskey Tango Airlines.
Yes,
come
dude.
Fly with me.
Because
let's fly,
every day
fly,
there's man. Another story.
Seriously.
Why would you get off?
I can't believe. At least that one, a fight broke out between passengers and had nothing to do with. In fact, you see that poor flight attendant get trampled as she's trying to break it up.
Oh, so awful.
Yes. So, if you're interested, yes, there really is a video out there of a Delta employee slapping a cell phone out of a 12-year-old hand. Of course, that means it's on the internet. And of course, that also means there's also a lawsuit pending.
Yeah. Just go ahead and Google Delta employee gets filmed and this time decides to fight back.
Okay, that was the one. No, that was the story I just shared.
Oh.
If you're looking for this one, the 12-year-old, it's actually family suing Delta after video shows agent smacking phone out.
Okay, there you go.
So just easy,
Google
easy.
It.
1, 2, 3, easy.
Easy, just
the
Google
filming
that.
Wasn't appreciated by the Delta gate agent. So, yeah, lawsuit.
Come fly with me, come fly with me.
Okay. Yeah, apparently their flight was delayed for 17 hours. 17 hours.
Oh.
After 12 of said hours, Matthew thought he'd start filming the pain of the wait and posting it to Snapchat. He's 12, and that's what 12-year-olds do. Well, all of a sudden, a Delta employee walks over to him and slaps the phone out of the hand. Quote, "She just came over and hit me." End quote.
Do we have that audio?
I mean, we have the video. Oh. Just hey, if you want to get the video, YouTube family suing Delta after video shows agent smacking phone out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna Google that.
The lawsuit also claims that passengers begin yelling, "This is child abuse." Here's why. The lawsuit claims the agent knocked the cell phone out of the kid's hand, and allegedly she told him it's illegal to film her. Yeah.
It's illegal, huh?
I don't know.
I know my rights, lady.
Yeah. Of course, there is the video, and it shows her telling him, "Put the phone down," and then a little more action as the phone goes flying away.
Wow.
Yeah. By the way, this incident occurred last year! Last year!
Huh.
Why is it gaining traction now? Because airlines. Man, I need to go back from a couple years ago when I got stranded at DFW and like hit up American right. Airlines and see if they'll make it right now.
No kidding.
Since they clearly
come
didn't
fly
back then.
With me.
Sadly, this is what we're seeing in the industry. Like people 6 months, a year, 2 years ago yeah. who were, quote, wronged, now coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, hey, bro.
Pay. They're going
to
pay.
Oh, yeah, they are. I'm going to get those fly miles. Anyways, can we move on from...
Yes, please.
Okay. It's official. Facebook is as addictive as smoking cigarettes.
Yay!
Yeah. We should all quit Facebook, apparently. At this point, it's like 3% good for keeping in touch with long-lost friends and 97% infuriating political posts anyways. Let's be real.
I'm deleting my Facebook page and just going to Snapchat, guys.
No. Here's the thing. We can't delete it because according to a new study out of the Netherlands, Facebook can be just as addictive as cigarettes or chocolate. Researchers even found that just seeing the Facebook logo could set off, quote, spontaneous pleasure cravings in people's
what?
Brains. Yeah.
Spontaneous pleasure cravings?
Yep. Like any addiction, overdoing it on Facebook can be bad for you, especially when your virtual social life keeps you from actually having a real social life.
Steve-o. Oh, I'm okay. in the jungle.
No, dude, we're doing
oh,
a show.
I'm in the jungle.
We're actually on the air.
Just Snapchatted right there.
Okay.
Dex Toth on Snapchat.
So if you're hooked on social media or Snapchat videos, they strongly advise trying to scale back. Just try, man.
Just try it.
Try to scale back, please.
It's as addictive as smoking heaters.
What? It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that weird?
I mean, I don't think so because, if anything, look at it, everybody's phones.
Yeah, you're right.
Every minute of the day, we're on our phone.
People have anxiety.
I check Instagram, and then I check Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I refresh it, and it's still the same photo. And I'm like, I have a problem.
Well, I have Facebook, Instagram, and now Snapchat, so mm-hmm. I'm just going back and forth, back and forth.
I had Snapchat for like 3 hours.
It's so fun, guys.
I just couldn't do it.
It's so fun.
Couldn't do it. Hey, good news. We're going to call our moms a little later, but if you accidentally forget that Sunday is Mother's Day, your mom may not care if you forget to call her on Mother's Day.
I love my mama!
They don't care?
I guess. There used to be like one major rule for Mother's Day. Even if you don't do anything else, period, the end, you have to at least call your mom.
You have to, guys.
Well, now that might not be true. A new study out of the University of California, Irvine, found that a Mother's Day phone call isn't that big of a deal anymore. It's because cell phones have completely changed how adult children communicate with their parents. Previous generations, long distance was expensive, and you could only call your mom when you were at home.
Huh.
So it was important that you got in that Mother's Day phone call. Well, today, long distance is actually free, and obviously with cell phones, you can make calls from anywhere. And there's texting, which is a whole new avenue to keep your parents posted on what's going on in your life. And let's not forget, everyone's addicted to Facebook.
Yeah.
So because of all of those things, our parents feel like we do a much better job communicating them than the kids, with their kids than, previous generations. So your mom might not actually even care if you forget to call her on Sunday.
That makes sense.
However, it's Mother's Day. You better call your mom!
Hold on.
So I just have to ask you once more
Are you for sure I'm yours?
Oh. Wait. Mm-hmm. That's a song for your mom?
Wow, that's pretty good, Dexter.
Let's just delete that one. That wasn't a good one. Let's reject that one. Deleting that one, guys.
No, dude.
Let's probably get approval on these.
That was pretty good. That was
so
pretty good.
I just have to ask.
Okay, that's enough. Love you, Mom.
I have to make a retraction from yesterday's show. Do we have update news?
Of course we have update news.
I haven't.
There were rumors circulating that Kelly Clarkson was the first choice to be a judge on the new American Idol. But that isn't happening. Yesterday, Kelly announced she's going to be a coach on The Voice. She'll be on season 14 next spring with Adam Levine and Blake Shelton. No word on the fourth coach. Jennifer Hudson and Miley Cyrus will be on the fall season.
What about Simon Cowell?
Well, I mean,
what's up with him? Is he going to be on Idol?
Not only will Kelly Clarkson not be on Idol, but now she's on its competitor at the same time. So let's be real. Well, Simon Cowell, you mentioned? He's taken himself out of the running as well.
Ugh.
Last night he said, quote, "I was asked to do it and the answer is no. I'm a terrible person."
He was the best part.
He was the best part of America.
Except this last season when he came back. Yeah. He wasn't the same Simon Cowell as he used to be. He was all nice this last season.
Yeah, he said, "I was asked to do it, and the answer is no. I have no interest. My memories are when we first started. It was a different time with Randy, Ryan, and Paula. You cannot recreate that."
Whatevs.
He also said, "The last time I watched Idol, it wasn't the same show, just the same name. I left for a reason, and I've never regretted it." End quote.
Whatevs, man.
Yeah.
I won't watch anyways. I don't even care.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson!
All right, we got to take a break. I believe our coaches will be joining us next. Amy and Beck from Bear Canyon CrossFit. We'll talk fitness, health. 8 o'clock, we'll call our moms. Big Daddy Weave. We'll be talking to Mike at 9:45. And we're also going to discuss an upcoming Christian movie that's apparently loaded with profanity. Big show today, guys. We'll be right back. Carmen Justice, Flaming Arrows, Star 88. Good morning. Welcome to the show, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We have a mom in studio right now.
Mom is in the studio.
What's up, Amy?
Hello, boys.
Why does it feel like it's been forever?
I know. It feels like it's been forever. I thought that when I woke up this morning, I thought, God, it's good that I'm getting to the show. It's been forever since I've been in
weeks.
Seeing the boys and talked about health and nutrition and fitness and life and juggling it all. So it's good to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Amy is a coach at Bear Canyon CrossFit. And on Fridays in the 7 o'clock hour, we open it up to you guys. You can text in at 585-LIVE. If you guys have any health-related training, go to the gym, I need motivation type questions, that's why we're here. That's why Amy's here. And Beck, she might be showing up. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see Beck. We haven't seen her in a couple weeks either. But this is your hour because, let's face it, most of us out there listening are not all that healthy. I would almost go out on a limb and say you're much like me. You know, you probably maybe at the gym and you just hate working out and you're just pushing through, though. You're pushing through because, you know, it's good for you. The health benefits are you're going to live longer for your family. You're going to be happier. You're going to have more energy, which those are the things that I'm noticing.
Why do you think people don't like it?
Because it's hard work.
Because it's hard work.
People don't like hard work.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that out because I'm actually on that. I'm one of those people. Like, I've never. Maybe it's I don't know. I'm trying to. That's seriously what I'm trying to work through right now because I don't super enjoy it. I just know I need it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Why do you think I've you never need it? Why do you think you need to go? Why do we need it?
To remain healthy so that I could, you know. But that's it. That's actually what I'm going through right now. It's like, why do I need it?
Yeah, why do we need the gym? I mean, do you think when you start and how you feel when you start versus how you feel when you finish, there's a difference?
Yes.
Mm,
Absolutely.
Like every workout, you mean? Like,
well, I mean, like yesterday I woke up, was kind of in a funk, and, you know, I prepped my food, and I was like, oh, I got to go to the gym, I got to coach this, 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 this. I was like, so I did something totally off my grid, and I went to a place and did an hour workout, and I was in the middle of it. Nobody, I didn't know a soul there, which was probably, for me, kind of nice, you know? And I went in there not wanting to go. I didn't want to go. But I was like, you know what? I need an hour of cardio. I need to zone out. And when I got in my car and I was sweaty and just did a great workout, and I feel like I had a, I think you do a, you have like a mental change. Mm. And I feel like that is why we go.
No doubt.
Because really, if you're eating the same and your behaviors are the same, your health benefits, health behaviors are the same, is there a huge difference in the way your body feels? And I mean, not your body, but the way your clothes fit and everything. Are you losing lots of weight when you go for a run or you go for a walk or anything like that? But I think there's a mental shift that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I think the working out obviously helps you, you know, feel better and you're fitter and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's also a deep mental switch.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I feel when I get to the gym, that's the hardest part is getting to the gym. And then when the workout kicks off, sure, it's hard work and you're just going at it for a good hour. But then afterwards, almost every time, you feel so much better.
So much better.
You're glad you went.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on, got to remember this feeling.
Yeah.
And that's almost what motivates you to keep going the next day because you remember that feeling.
And I think that if you ask most people, when you stop going, and you take like 2 or 3 weeks and not going, and all of a sudden you have this little extra time and you have, you know, you don't put it as a priority, it is so much harder to get back on.
So much harder. I took a week off. I took a week off and it was hard.
Steve-O's taking time off. Dex is blowing it up and going to the gym. And all
isn't
of a sudden,
weird?
Let's talk about Steve-O. Where are you at emotionally, mentally, physically,
I was going to say we got a question on the live line. I'd like to to this question first. It's actually funny because we actually had somebody chime in on the live line with a very similar thing.
Who says, say?
I need motivation big time. I've been working out for 2 years. I've enjoyed it the whole time. I've completed a lot of goals, but for the past couple of months, my motivation is completely gone. Any tips?
Wow. That's crazy. This person has really enjoyed working out for 2 years.
So here's the thing. Here's one thing. Here's what I can at least recognize. Doing CrossFit is different than any other thing as far as exercise. I've enjoyed it more than I've ever enjoyed anything else because I didn't enjoy a lot. Like, I was on the swim team. Did I love swimming? Not necessarily, but I was on the swim team because it's just what I did.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of things in my life personally that I've done because it's either what I'm supposed to do or because it's what somebody else wants me to do. And that's really where I started with CrossFit because Teo was like, dude, come on, get healthy. We're in our 30s now and it's no fun waking up in the morning and your back's sore and all these, you know, you gotta work those muscles. You gotta keep going. And so kicking it off like that. And then you meet the community and there's a bunch of people who are awesome and fun to be around and it's motivating to you and you set these goals. But I think like this guy, what happens when you've accomplished those goals? Because my first one was, I want to compete at first it was just like a weekend games thing. I want to compete. Someday I'm going to compete and I'm going to do a partner wad type thing. And originally it was Teo, you and I, I'm going to get to a place where you and I are going to do this partner wad. And then, obviously he split and I was like, well, I'm going to do the games then. And that was my goal. I'm going to do the games and I want to gain some muscle. These are the goals I have. And I got through the open and it was awesome. And then there was, and it was like, but now what? You know what I mean?
I truly believe that if you ask anybody that sets a big goal, whether it's a marathon, a triathlon, the CrossFit Open, you know, a weight loss, anytime you set a goal and you meet the goal, there is a period of time. I mean, I remember doing my first marathon. I got done.
Depressed?
Yes, Steve. Yes, Dex, exactly. Like you go through this like, ugh. Wow.
Yeah.
I worked so hard to get there. I got there. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Now what? You know right. what I mean? And I think that for the person that just said they've met a bunch of these goals, they've and now what?
Yeah.
I think that's where you take some time and you revisit your goals, because if we were going to pick goals, meet our goals, and never have a goal again, we kind of stay right. really stagnant.
There's yep. always something out there that you can find.
There's
you know, whether it's a competition
yeah.
or it's I'm going to run up the mountain yeah. or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
how far did I push myself in the last event? I want to beat that time, you know?
Right.
And a lot of people, I see a lot of in shape people at the gym. I mean, there's a mixture of everybody,
right.
but there's people there that have been doing it for a while, and it's like they're just maintaining. But they found that love for it, and maybe it has turned into an addiction. I mean, it can. But I think for a lot of people, it's probably just it gets to that point where you just feel without it, you feel empty.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes
right.
a part of your life.
Yeah. Or it's medicine, because we have friends at Bear Canyon who, seriously, if they don't go, they like get depressed. It's like their mental well-being
sure.
dependent
for
upon
sure.
it, you know? And so
I think it is. And so, you know, so revisit your goals. What were your goals? You know, congratulate yourself and honor yourself for reaching those goals, and then set up another set of goals. That's mm-hmm. one thing. The other thing is, you know, we talk about in being part of this radio show and showing gratitude. You know what I mean? That
mm-hmm.
I think it's linked hand in hand. I think that if you're feeling kind of in that slump, and I know when I'm feeling in the slump, if I even take 5 minutes, and I have my challengers do this sometimes, is to write a gratitude list. What are you grateful for? Because I think we lose sight of that. Like, oh my gosh, woe is me. I've got this. Woe is me. I can't lose this weight. Woe is me is I didn't work out hard enough in that gym, or I didn't push myself hard enough, or woe is me. You know, it's all this negativity
yeah.
where if we just step back for a second, think, oh my gosh, I got up this morning. You know, I had food on my plate. What are you grateful for?
Yeah.
And I think that if we take that moment to be grateful and to revisit our goals, it kind of we can self-motivate ourselves to continue on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
otherwise I think it's easy to get into that slump. You know, it's like, ugh, I don't want to go to the gym. Oh, I don't want to eat that healthy food. Oh, I don't want to food prep. You know, I may think that's very easy to get into that. And I think we've all experienced that. You look at all these people that are games athletes or, you know, and when I, you know, the CrossFit Games or marathon runners or triathletes or all those people, I think that, or even the average Joe go through periods where they just kind of feel cruddy.
Yeah.
And
I think that's normal.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that also, we need to ask for God to help us to get out of that slump.
Right.
You know, God, can you be with me today so I can put one foot in front of the other and get through today and get to the gym where I know I feel better. It is kind of my medicine
yeah.
to help me feel better.
That's what I hear from a lot of people, is that working out definitely helps with that anxiety. If you have marriage issues or it's whatever you're going through, all the stuff you deal with at work.
Yeah.
It's like that escape. And you can kind of just get it all worked out at the gym. And you can just push yourself and
yeah.
just kind of, you know, people like to hit punching bags or,
yeah.
you know, do MMA. And, you know, or I like to punch my pillow, you know. I
yeah.
like to just go to town. Yeah.
I think it's super important. And I think, you know, even in my HIIT classes on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I'll tell the group of people, I've got this awesome group of people. And we work really, really, really hard. But in the beginning, while we're stretching, I always say to them, this is your hour. You're here. You made it here. Your kids might be in childcare right now. You got them here. Whether they're still in pajamas or not,
yeah.
you're here. And this is your hour to focus on you.
Yeah.
I don't want you focusing on your bills that you've got to pay, or the dirty car that you just drove in, or the fight that you might have had with your husband this morning, or your teenager who's giving you slack. This is your hour to work out. And I feel like for that period of time at the gym, if people can take their woes and their worries
right.
and just leave it at the door
mm-hmm.
and come in and just focus on themselves and their health and not compare themselves. I said to a woman yesterday, she kept asking me, am I doing it okay?
Yeah.
And I said, nobody's looking at you right now. Everybody else is sucking wind on the floor.
Yeah.
Nobody cares whether you can do knee ups or whether you're doing ring rows or whether you're really able to really efficiently clean that bar into a front rack position, you know? So I just think that it's your time. It's
yeah.
your hour.
You yelled at me the other day.
I yelled at you.
You did. And No, what you just said.
I yell at everybody.
What
next.
You just said was right on, and it helped me so much because remember the other day at the gym, I'm sitting there trying to do ring rows.
Yeah.
And everybody else that can actually do a pull up is doing pull ups, and I look over and there's this guy next to me, and he did about 50 to 60 pull-ups in a row.
Dang.
And he jumped off the bar and he wasn't even breathing.
I bet he was
no,
breathing.
He was sitting there like it was nothing.
And like in your mind, you saw him as Superman. In his mind, he was dying.
You think?
You know?
Because
yes,
he sat there like, oh man, I just did, I probably could have knocked out the 100, but whatever.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And so I you and Beck were walking by and I'm like, did you just see that? And you like snapped me out and you're like, hey, you focus on yourself right now. This is your time. And I'm like, okay, sorry, my bad. Yeah.
Well, I think, and because I do it, I mean, because I can relate, I do it. You know, I've been out for 6 weeks, barely able to get back on. I did that workout yesterday all by myself in the gym. It was a 20-minute just blah. And in the middle of 10 minutes, I'm sitting on the floor like, you know, I'm not going to say what I was thinking, but I was just like, oh, I can't stand this. I don't want to be here right now.
Wow.
I can't clean the bar the way I want to clean the bar. I'm not where I want to be, you know, athletic-wise. I just feel like in a slump. I wanted to just give up. And I was like, Amy, pick up the bar.
Yeah.
Pick up the bar, even if you pick it up one at a time. So for that, and then, you know, that night I coached 4:30 and 5:30, and all these women were throwing around weights that were double what I was throwing around.
Yeah.
And I had a moment of like, oh my God, you're weak. Oh my gosh, you're not as strong as you used to be. Oh my gosh, you should have gone RX. Why didn't you go RX? Why didn't you push yourself?
That's exactly how I feel.
So easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to compare yourself to the person you're standing beside.
That's why just even the regular gym, even if it's not just even a CrossFit gym, you're just going to just a regular gym where there's weights and there's treadmills. You get there and you look around and you see all these people that are in shape and then you just feel, gosh, it's going to be a while for me to get to that place.
I think we need to remember, and I think it's something, Dex, Steve-O, we all need to remember that there's that beautiful saying that for everybody that we meet, they are going through something that we know nothing about.
That's so true.
So as we're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, look at that guy's abs, look at that guy's, you know, body, look at what he's this, we have no idea what that man is going through.
That's so true, yeah.
We don't know if he's lonely. We don't know if he has no relationship with God.
Right.
We have no idea what his relationship with his children, if he has children, or if he wants children, or if he feels loved or not loved. And I think that's one thing to remember is that every human being that we interact with has a story.
Man, that's so important.
You know?
We objectify everything, and so they just become characters or objects within our story because we're so self-centered. You're right.
Right? We're so...
It's so true.
What a great thing to talk about. We are so self-centered. And so I have a really good friend. I talk to him all the time. He's just like one of my dearest friends, and he'll say to me, you know, it's not always about you, Amy.
Yeah.
You know, I wish you'd stop for a second.
Yeah.
Listen, I just need to tell you about my day, and it feels like it's always about you. And it really, when people call me on my own stuff, I think those are the best friends you can possibly have.
Yeah.
When they say, listen, it is not all about you.
Yeah.
At this moment, today, just because you can't lift that weight, or you're not lean as you want to be right now, or you're not, you know, whatever, you don't have as much money as the neighbor that beside you, or a better car, it's not always about you.
Yeah. That's so important.
Do you think part of the lack of motivation comes from unrealistic expectations? Because it's so funny. People are chiming in right now, including our boy Baba Taba out in Austria, who said, and I am feeling your discussion right now. After completing a half marathon a few weeks ago, beating my goal time, I feel like I'm now in a no man's land in terms of exercise and really struggling with motivation. Mm. Like, it's interesting how that happens because we have these maybe ideas of what that goal will accomplish in our lives. And when it doesn't accomplish the intended thing, maybe like we just kind of go, well, now what?
Yeah.
Like, well,
do you think sometimes we have this like fantasy of what that goal, once it's accomplished, is going to feel like?
Yeah.
So
maybe.
We've got this thought like,
this crazy, unrealistic.
I'm going to cross that finish line.
Right.
Everyone's going to be cheering me on.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to feel so great.
Yeah.
And there's a second where maybe you feel like that. But life happens.
Right. Yeah.
Life settles. The dust settles.
Mm-hmm.
So when we reach those goals, And maybe, you know, all of a sudden I have this message that's kind of coming to me. Maybe that's why you have to have a relationship with God, because all this other stuff doesn't really matter right. At the end of the day. Whether you finished it, you hit your goals, or you finished that marathon or whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's just you alone with God, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it can happen not only with working out, but it's happened to me when I used to go on mission trips. I got called out one time by a pastor because my wife and I used to lead mission trips down to Juarez all the time, and we'd take groups of people down there, and we'd just be on this high, you know, because it was just this, we were going down into Mexico where the cartel was there, and it was dangerous, and man, we could lose our lives, and it was, we saw God do incredible things, and then we come back home, and then we're back to normal life, and it's, oh my gosh. And I feel like we can get that way with our Christian walk at times, you know, whether it's at church, we get on this like huge high at church, and then Monday comes.
Or even on the ride home fighting with your kids.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You go to church, you fight with them to get them to church, you're in church, you're like, oh God, give me centered, give me, and then your kid does something stupid in the car and you're snapping, yelling at them, and you're like, where's my peace?
Right.
Where's my, and how do you find that?
Balance.
I mean, you know,
got to find this balance.
Balance, or just this level of just peace. You know, where stuff happens, but you have such a solid. And I'm not saying that I have this because I don't. but this solid basis. So when things happen, when trauma happens in your life, or you know, disappointments happen in your life, or whatever happens, you can stay on your rock and be solid.
Yeah.
How do you get there?
You know what's cool is this is exactly what Pastor Skip is teaching on in his new series, Technicolor Joy. Like it's all about having that joy, not that like happiness, but that joy, you know, as he's going through the book of Philippians. And man, it's so true, because maybe part of it comes from a place where the gym or the job or whatever it is that you have that goal that you're trying to attain, that's kind of the distraction, if you will, your escapism, you know, a way to escape from the problems or the worries or the cares of the day. And once you've accomplished that, it's like, oh, wait, I still have to face, you know, maybe there's something that you have to face that you're not facing, that distraction now is not cutting it. And you've kind of got to face some things, you know?
You know, it's so true. And, you know, it's funny. My husband's really good friend flew in from Portland over the weekend. Great. We've had him, known him forever and ever. And, you know, he's pulled me aside. They were going off to Moab to do some mountain biking. He pulled me aside on Saturday morning before they left. And he said, I need you to be still a little bit. You haven't stopped since I've been here. All you do is move.
Yeah.
He said, do you stop? Do you meditate? Do you pray? Do you take any time in the day to just be? Well, you know, it's hard to do that. Mm. It's hard to, because what happens when we stop? What happens when we just get quiet with ourselves? Then all this stuff that we're trying to not deal with, it kind of comes to the surface.
Yep. Mm.
So if we keep running a million miles an hour, we won't have to deal with loss and hurt and fear and also responsibilities. We keep rolling through as quick as we can. You don't really have to deal with the bills that you haven't paid or the phone call you haven't made or the, you know what I mean? So to take that time to slow down, you know.
And that's where your relationship with God comes in, because it's breathing. When you get that quiet time, it's breathing and just letting it go and just saying, God, this is yours. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
You know, and just work on that breathing technique. So I do that all the time, and it just calms you down.
Yeah.
When you breathe through your nose, out through your mouth, just doing that like 15 to 20 times, you get this kind of high, like when you blow up a balloon.
Oh, yeah.
You feel so much better.
Yeah. Centered.
You know? You get
centered. Yeah.
You got to find those times. And it's Mother's Day on Sunday. And so for a mother, which you are, it's got to be tough, because when you have little kids, it's crazy all the time. You know, I mean, they're going to, you know, to different events, and you're driving them around different places. And it's important to find that time where you get away from your kids.
Right. And also,
a lot of moms don't do that.
A lot of moms don't do that, right? A lot of moms don't do that. And I think the other thing about being a mom, and I'll talk for a second about being a mom, is I feel like it should say mom guilt.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it doesn't matter what I feed my kids, what I do. There's this underlining of a not enough. You know, I got up this morning early to come to the show, and my daughter said before they have a big play at the Academy tonight, and something she's been working on for a long time. And she said, "Okay, Ma, I need you to do my hair. You got to do my makeup. It's the show for the school. So the school that she goes to the Academy to watch this, yeah, the fifth graders perform." And I thought, how am I going to do that? I can't do that. My first response was to her, I can't do it. I can't do this all. I've got to be on the show. I've got a meeting at 8. I've got to coach at 9:30. I can't do it. But I got up this morning. She was asleep. And I said, just lay there. I'm doing your hair. I did her hair. I braided her hair. She's sleeping. And I put her makeup on.
You made it work.
I washed her face.
That's amazing.
I put her eyeshadow and put that little liner on her and put her blush on. Yeah. And she opened her eyes. She goes, thanks, Mom. I said, I love you.
That's incredible.
I'm doing everything I can.
Yeah.
You look great. Is it enough eyeliner? It's enough. You're 11. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Do great on the show. I'll see you this afternoon.
Yeah.
But I do think there's this being a mom, and how do we be a mom and be fit and be healthy and be, you know, do all this stuff.
Yeah.
How do we do it all? You know what I mean? And then when we don't do it right, then what? And I think, you know, if we were talking about Father's Day, I really believe that mothers and fathers feel the same.
Yep. Mm.
You know, am I doing enough? Am I loving enough? Am I praying enough? Am I healthy enough? Am I
providing
good enough?
Enough?
What? Yeah.
Providing enough.
Providing? Am
as
I
a husband,
good enough provider?
As a father? Right. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's so true.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How is everything, how is getting to the gym 3 days a week enough? How is, you know, well, Steve-O, you
no,
need to
yeah.
be,
you, no, I'm serious.
I'll tell you,
that's...
you don't come to the gym and I can see it when you walk through the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And you can make a million excuses. Oh, I don't like the crew. It used to be a boys' sesh. Now it's a bunch of girls. that was Steve-O's excuses for you. But, you know, I mean,
Dex isn't there anymore. Yeah. I don't even want to go.
You've got to make friends, though. You've got to reach out.
You've got to
get out of your. And it's same with moms. You've got, like, what was I talking to a mom the other day? She has twins and a little boy. And she said, oh, you know, I can't get there. And I said, what do you mean you can't get there? We have childcare. Oh, look, my little Brody boy, he sits on the steps. He cries. He doesn't like. I said, get to the gym.
You'll
start getting used to the childcare. They have a blast in there.
Yep.
Get to the gym. And she came in on Monday and she was like, oh, my God, I feel so much better. She brought her two twins in. She brought Brody in. She had three kids and one big, you know.
Yeah.
But she got there and she felt better and we feel better. So why do we stop doing things that make us feel good?
Yeah.
Right.
Why do we stop it?
A member of the Starmie chimed in and said, can I give a special shout out to my wife who's going to a body pump class at 9 o'clock this morning? She's back in the gym for the first time in over 4 years.
Yay!
So proud of her.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. So it's true. Yeah. Cause we, man, so many people chiming in agreeing with this conversation, you know, adding to, you know, feeling demotivated, going through different things. Somebody else wanted to remind us that the Apple Watch does remind you to stop and breathe throughout the day, which you know, we need.
Wow.
Man.
338-3700 if you'd like to call into the show. Good morning. Are you there?
Oh, hi. I was wondering if you have any Chris Tomlin tickets left over from yesterday.
That is hilarious. We don't.
No, I'm sorry. We gave them all away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we'll talk to you about health
thank
and fitness
you.
Right now.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay.
So random.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. She was taking care of herself.
Yeah.
Something she wanted.
I know.
She called in.
That's
she
went
okay.
for it. Yeah, she
that's
went
true.
For it.
It's all okay.
Yeah. 585 Live if you want to text into the show, or you can call us at 338-3700. We got Amy hanging out with us. She's a coach at Bear Canyon CrossFit.
Yeah.
And she's an incredible mother. And it's so stressful. I know my wife is she's such a great mom. She's such an incredible mother. I talked about this morning, how she's sacrificed so much of her time and her career to stay home with the kids for, you know, 10 years or more. And just to kind of put her life on hold and to be there for the kids. And the sacrifice that moms, you know, do for their kids is incredible. I think it's even more so with moms compared to dads, I think. I mean, there's dads that step up, for
there's
sure.
There's some single dads out there.
Sure.
I was literally just about to say that.
Don't get me wrong. Single dads out there
single
step
dads,
it up.
Single
but when,
moms.
When you have a mom and dad, come on. I honestly
stop
think
comparing
Dex.
It's not a comparison. Nah. That's the problem.
There's something about a mom.
Stop dividing us, bro.
It's different from a father's relationship with their child. A mom's relationship, they're nurturing.
Yeah.
I love my mom. I love my dad, but
you're
my mom is like, I'll run to my mom before I'd run to my dad.
Well, I think it depends on your, it's funny. I had a closer relationship with my father than I do with my mom. I've always struggled with my relationship with my mom.
Yeah.
And I was actually just talking to her on the way over here, and it's not a lack of love. Yeah. It's a lack of just this, we just have always kind of like butt heads a little bit. And so I think trying to build that relationship with your mother, maybe there's probably a million callers out there that either have a hard relationship with their mother or a hard relationship with their dad, and finding that peace within that relationship and accepting it for what it is. I think that, I mean, that's a whole show.
Yeah.
Accepting, you know, it's so funny. What do they say? It's not funny, but what do they say? They say you can't pick your family, right?
Right.
Mm. None of us pick our family. You know, it is given to us.
But you can pick your nose.
But you can pick your nose. That's right.
That's so beautiful.
All right, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Good morning.
That's it. I'm done.
Are you there? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. No, we don't have Chris Tomlin tickets.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't want. I already saw him here in Rico, so that was great.
Okay.
Anyways, I want to say, you know, I listen to you guys from Rodolfo all the time. I haven't called in a long time, but this conversation made me want to call because, you know, I am a mother of three. I work a full-time job as secretary of the middle school. I graduated last night with my associate.
Nice!
That's great.
My kids do gymnastics, soccer, you know, my husband works full time also. And this is so encouraging, you know, because sometimes I do feel guilty that I don't do enough. And it's just amazing to hear the encouragement for all those mothers out there, you know.
Yeah.
My struggle right now is this, getting healthy, getting fit, because I have so many other things. You know, my husband and I are leaders in our youth group every Wednesday. We serve at church. I'm the secretary of the church. I just, you know, the time is not there sometimes, but this is very encouraging to hear that even though, you know, three times a week, it couldn't be that hard. Sometimes it is, but, you know, there's people out there rooting for you.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I do think sometimes, you know, three times a week with all of our lives and our struggles and running around with our head cut off, and absolutely working full time, where are you going to fit that time in to get fit?
Yeah.
And I would just say to you that you finish dinner and you get on that floor in front of the TV and you do 25 push-ups or 20, you know, from your knees if you have to, and 25 sit-ups and 25 air squats. And I swear, just doing that and stretching for 10 minutes will start to get your body to kind of wake up.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are like, I can't get to the gym. I don't have time. I don't have the money. Then do something at home.
Yeah.
Take a moment and tell your kids, everyone grab their bike. We're done with dinner. We're not turning the TV on. And we are going for I'm putting the timer on right now. We are going for a 20-minute walk.
Yeah.
And what a way to bring a family together.
Yeah.
You know, going for a walk. Let your kids get on their bike. Go to the park.
While the kids are playing at the park, do some squats and some push-ups and run around.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be paying a monthly membership at a gym and having to follow what they say, quote unquote, is the way to get fit.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like that.
Right.
Get to the park, take a walk, do some stretching in your living room, make it a priority to move and get healthier. Because when we're healthier all around to everybody that we interact with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
man. So that was a good call.
Yeah, it was. I think you just answered this question, actually, because somebody chimed in and said, I used to be a runner, but I stopped about a year ago. Been trying to start back up again, but I'm struggling. Got any advice on how to get motivated? There's a lot
just
of motivation
it,
questions
right?
today.
People,
well, you know what happens, you guys? January comes.
I know, right?
Right? Everybody puts their goals down. Everybody's super motivated. We're in May. People are not motivated right now.
That's very true.
The motivation is done. So
the
how do you keep
motivated? Yeah.
Seasons change. Summer's coming. Kids are getting out of school. There's tons going. The month of May for families is incredible. There's parties and there's kids. I mean, my kid every single morning before I walk out the door goes, oh, Mom, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, can
we
you
have a
drop
graduation
off at the
thing?
School?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I was supposed to make this thing for class today. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
We make all of our New Year's resolutions over Christmas break when we don't have anything going on.
Right. And then, you know, the question is, so let's come up with one way, right? Like, how do we continue to stay motivated?
Yeah.
What is going to get you to the gym or get yourself to the park or do something so you continue to eat well and feel good? Because I'll tell you, they're linked. If you're eating well, you feel better. Yeah. Yep. You just do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You start wandering through a local grocery store shoving crap in your mouth, you're going to feel like you do. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah, I know.
I've done it. You don't feel as good. You're on this sugar high and then you drop down. So how do you continue to be motivated and feel good?
Right.
You know?
So speaking of motivation and needing some help, somebody said, wait, I've heard that stretching is bad for you. Is this accurate? Is there such a thing as good stretches versus bad stretches?
Well, what are you doing? What kind of stretching are you doing? You know, are you doing back bends and trying to get your head behind your butt? Right. I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. I mean,
What are some basic stretches that we can do? Come on, try and do this on radio.
So listen, let's do this. Let's put our feet together.
Okay.
And let's touch our toes 10 times.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Do we
just
bounce?
Straight down with your hands down.
I kind of feel like there's a YouTube video for this.
Come back up and squeeze your butt.
How to stretch appropriately, maybe? Like
how to stretch.
I could totally touch my toes.
Look, Steve-O and I are touching our toes. Look at that. There's a stretch. Touch your toes. Yeah. 10 times.
10 times?
Okay, now in a straddle position, let's go take our right hand.
You did this, Steve-O. This is your fault.
Okay, so now, so like shoulder length apart, maybe our feet. And then we just.
This is great for radio.
Yeah.
See, this is good, though.
My right hand is touching my left foot.
Again, you probably just go to a how to video on YouTube.
I mean, they're asking these questions.
Yeah.
It's important, Zach.
So let me tell you, stretching can't. Can stretching be bad for you? Oh, yeah. No.
Because it hurts.
No, it hurts. It hurts. Somebody else said that in the gym. So funny. Somebody said they were working on it. They're like, oh, it hurts. I'm like, yeah, it hurts. Do another one.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts. But it makes you feel better at the end.
Yeah.
Stretching is good for us.
Yeah.
Breathing is good for us. Praying is good for us.
Right?
Eating healthy is good for us. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just do it.
Man,
I'm on Nike.
I know, right? People are like talking about motivation. I'm like, how do you get motivated? Hang out with Amy.
Right. And that's what I want to say.
Who can't do a jumping jack?
Yeah, it's true.
Do 50 jumping jacks in your living room every single night and call me on Friday and let me know if you felt better.
Right.
50, that's all. 50 every night.
Okay.
Get that heart rate up.
Yeah.
We should do that.
And I think, you know, for the person who wants to know how do you stay motivated,
I really will.
It's one of those things where I think if you can find a friend or maybe it's your partner, because for me, it's Leslie, you know, we kind of motivate each other to go. And I think if you can find somebody that can be an accountability partner for you and setting those goals.
But let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says find a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's easy to find a friend?
No, it's not.
It's
a lot
not.
Of people don't
so
have
Steve-O
friends.
So Steve-O says, I don't come to the gym as much because I'm missing my friends.
Yeah.
And we say, find a friend. Well, unless you're outgoing, it is difficult to find a friend.
Even if you are out, because I'm an extrovert, but I wouldn't necessarily say outgoing. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
And I think finding friendships are a gift. Yeah. A true friend is a gift from God, right? So to find somebody that's going to motivate you and have accountability, that's why people pay coaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I need accountability.
Yeah. Right.
I don't have accountability in my life.
Right. Yeah.
Accountability helps me stay on my goals.
Yeah.
So I think there's, like, if there's somebody, a caller out there on how to find a friend, I mean, would you go to match.com, find a friend? I mean, is there such a thing? I mean, finding friends
isn't
necessarily
easy. If you don't have a friend, then you're out of luck. Yeah, you're out of luck. Sorry. But, you know, what you just said right there, I heard Steve-O earlier say, you know, that, you know, the girls at the 11:30 class, it's just the girls, you know, and so, and I don't
but
go there.
Not.
And Teo's not
James
there anymore.
Is there.
See,
Mark is there.
There's a ton of dudes
but
that
Jake's
come out
here's
there.
The thing. Here's the thing. I heard Steve-O, and now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back to the 11:30. You know, if it helps me get to the gym, I'll go.
Because it helps
you know?
Get to the gym.
Yeah. If
Monday.
I'll go.
Imagine this. You know? Monday. This Monday, I brought my gym clothes, and I'm like, Dexter, you know how hard it's been for me to get back to the gym.
Oh, man.
But I brought my gym clothes today. but I don't know if I'm going to go. And Dex looks at me and said, buddy,
I'm there for you.
I will go to 11:30.
I got this,
if you
buddy.
Go.
I got this.
No,
I
no.
got your back, buddy.
Because I went at 11:30 on Monday,
Dex, you
and you
show.
Bailed on me, man. And I was alone in the world.
Can I tell you why I bailed? Because
okay.
I walked out
I
of here
care.
At like 11:05,
yeah.
and we always leave at 11. His car was still there. No Steve-O, and I'm like, he's not going to the gym.
Because I was
the
in the bathroom changing. Oh.
My bad.
You guys, that would be cool.
If you would have communicated with me
Let's
a little
talk
better.
About lack
oh, that's
of
weird.
Communication.
That's weird.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did text Dex
was gonna
and
say,
mm-hmm. dude, where are you? And he's like, 3:30. And he was there at 3:30.
Yeah. Cool, man.
I just think you need to do what, I mean, you can count on your friends, but at the end of the day,
right,
it's just
right.
like saying I have no relationship with God. Well, you've got to have accountability. No, you got to get up and talk to God.
Dude,
you know?
That's
right?
a good call. Yeah, that's a great call.
I mean, part of this is our life.
I have yeah. missed you, you know? So much. I'm so glad
I'm so
you're here. The
live line's, out right now.
Live line's going crazy. It's not even working out. I just enjoy life more.
Let's do air
like,
squats.
Let's
do
it, guys.
Like, I don't know what to do.
I'm doing air
get
squats right now.
Get your butt to the floor and do an air squat.
Oh, man.
Do
that's
something.
So, come on.
Let's do
it. Oh, but I'm in
yeah.
kind of like skinny jeans. It doesn't necessarily
okay.
work for me.
We got a phone call.
Just going for it. Okay, phone call.
338-3700 if you'd like to call
in. We don't
in.
Have tickets.
Good morning. yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I heard moms and working out, and that was enough to call in
is
and
this
say
Beck?
That if you're a mom.
No.
This is no
this
different
Becca.
Becca. Yeah. Wow.
Hi,
wow.
Becca. Becca's been working out. You post on Facebook every day, Instagram.
Every day.
You do. You're
every
just motivating
day.
People.
Same picture.
Because there's so much difference
day.
From one day to the next, right? So, okay.
That's
so
exactly
I just wanted to call
same.
And say that, like, if you're a mom who, like, deals with, like, I mean, I've had a baby for 2 years now, but, like, you still have those baby blues where you're just, like, your body isn't the way it used to be. You're not feeling the way you used to. You don't have the energy. And I finally got back to the gym, and if I miss the gym, I'm depressed. Like, I'm physically and mentally just drained, and I just can't handle the day. So, if you can just get yourself there, you're going to feel so much better, and it's
yeah.
just, it's amazing. You make friends there, and it's just good for moms, especially, because we need that time away from the kids for, like, an hour. So, just
yep.
go do it. It's really good.
There you go.
I'm proud of you, Becca.
Keep
good
it
job.
Up. Yeah.
Good job.
Maybe less. Maybe less photos. Maybe
no,
less.
Oh man, if that's
no,
what helps
every
you.
Know what? I'm
day.
On my way to the gym right now, and if you don't like my gym selfie, that's it. That's just it. I'm going to be depressed again. So
I've okay. never
well,
liked
you
any
keep
of
doing
your
it,
gym
girl.
Selfies because
you
it's a photo of a girl in gym clothes in front of a mirror.
Okay.
So.
Oh my
can't,
gosh.
Can't like that one.
Hey,
I'm
hey,
a dude
hey,
with a wife.
Hang up on yourself.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
She's going to think twice about. Taking pictures. Yeah. Like, maybe I do take too many.
No, she's a photographer.
Myself.
Our billboard, she's the photographer that did our photo shoot for the billboard. So, but she really does every day. I've never liked a single because I don't like any of them. I don't care if it's you or April or anybody. It's like, here's me in my gym clothes and I'm just going to flex. Like my photo. Can't like you. Can't like that photo. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I have a spouse. I have a spouse, and if I want to continue
oh
to have a
God,
spouse.
Oh, my God, that's another whole conversation. Let's
oh,
not go
it's
here.
True, man.
Can
it's
you
so
not
true.
Like the opposite sex when you're married?
I mean, you
well,
can't like their
I like
gym
the
photos.
You guys. Why not?
Well,
they're in clothes. It's not
I mean,
like it's a nude picture.
I mean,
a lot to that conversation.
Beat that one. Don't take that off.
I have Instagram like
oh,
standards,
man.
So I just,
yeah.
Oh gosh, oh, yeah. It's been good being here today. You guys.
I know. I'm bummed that like the whole hour flew by.
Well, it's so good just to talk about. I mean, being a mom and being
yeah.
fit and being healthy and taking care of ourselves and also taking care of our children and
yeah.
finding balance and what is happiness and all that stuff. And you're right. You know, I went to church. Couple weeks ago, or it was last week, I guess, on the new series on joy,
yeah.
and I sat there and I thought, gosh, I need this series.
Yeah,
you know, I need
a lot
to
of people do right now. Yeah,
and listening, but why? What's in the air where there's this kind of like heaviness? What is that?
It's weird, right? This
yeah.
whole season has felt like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people
I would
agree. Dealing with that, which is
yeah.
why it's perfect because that series has been planned. You know, so God doesn't. There are no coincidences.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
it's incredible.
Well, there's
how
a
that,
lot of stress with North Korea and, you know, what's going on.
Wait,
with the
what?
What?
No, that's not.
Oh.
You are so stupid.
You know what I think
I
it
mean,
is?
It could be. Why not?
I think this is it. I think I know. I think I have the answer. Yeah. I think that we are always looking for something that's better than what's in front of us.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going
to
write that down.
And I think that if we continue to think that the grass is greener, we're never okay in where we are today.
Right.
Beautiful.
Man, I want to find this quote. C.S. Lewis, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And that's something that I've always I've always tried to think about, because it's true. We do try and find satisfaction in so many temporal things in front of us, but the truth is we're never going to find that true satisfaction apart from Christ.
Mm. Yeah, so I agree.
That's good.
a good note to end
Thanks,
on.
Thanks, C.S. Lewis.
Dude, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Oh, thanks, Dex.
You're welcome.
I'm happy to be
happy
a mom
Mother's
of three.
Happy Mother's Day, Dex.
Oh, thanks.
Happy Mother's Day,
yeah, man.
Happy
You've Mother's got a mom Day. Of three body, so I'm just going to say happy Mother's Day to you,
okay,
buddy.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank
God,
you.
God, there's always this undertone of, gotcha, now I gotcha, yep. Gotcha.
It's like high school. I feel like I'm in high school.
I should have ended with the C.S. Lewis thing.
I really should have. You feel like crap right now. Watch it. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
All right. When we come back, Pastor Sam Swan will be joining us, and we're going to talk about this rated R Christian movie. Yeah,
it's interesting.
We'll discuss. All right. When we come back. Paramore, Hard Times, their latest single. Good morning. It's Star 88, Dex and Steve-O, and Sam Swan hanging out this morning.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Happy Mother's Day.
I am not a mother.
That's true. You're not. You're not.
I'm a father.
But Brenda is.
I'm married to a mother, and I have a mother.
Yeah?
I have a mother-in-law.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes. And they're all fantastic ladies.
Yes. I can hear you on that one.
Especially Brenda.
Yeah.
Got to say that.
We're going to call our moms here in a little bit.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. We'll track them down. My mom is up in Montana, and Steve-O's mom is over in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll track them down, and it's something I've done since I started doing mornings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a tradition.
Calling
to call
them on Friday before
Mother's
Day.
You know, have to give a shout out to the moms out there, and especially my mom for putting up with me. I mean, I was a great kid. I mean, it was Michael John who really was the troublemaker. So
it's always the case.
Yeah.
Are you the oldest?
No, I'm the youngest.
Oh,
I'm her
see,
baby.
That's why
I'm her
you're
baby.
The, yeah, you're
you
the
know?
Favorite son.
I was a mama's boy. Yeah. And it's funny because I'm complete opposite of my brother.
Oh, really?
And I usually, not to say that I didn't ever get in trouble, because I did.
Yeah.
But I would always see my brother get in trouble, and then I would always kind of learn from his mistakes.
Yeah.
And I was either, I would say to myself, I don't ever want to be like my brother and do something like that. Or I learned how to get away with it.
Right, right.
You know?
I don't want to get caught like my
exactly.
brother got caught.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but man, I have the best parents. I really do.
Yeah.
They were.
That's great.
There's no complaints here.
Yeah.
You know, they took care of us. They always fed us. They spoiled us at times. And, you know, just we had a good, somewhat healthy. I mean, not every family is perfect, you know, but.
Well, I would say probably not any family is perfect.
But compared to a lot of families, I look back and go, wow.
Yeah.
Man,
me too.
My mom and dad did a great job.
Yeah. We had a good.
Yeah.
A great family. Yeah. I mean, we had issues. Everybody has issues.
Everybody does.
But we overcame them. We worked through them. You know, we're functional adults.
Right.
We're
somewhat. I mean, you know, somewhat.
We're good adults. I was going to say, we're good adults. We're good adults.
We're.
Way to be a good adult.
Yes.
Good. Everything's
so good. So
good. Oh, God.
Yeah, so we'll track down our moms.
That'll be
here
fun.
A little bit,
yeah,
as soon as Steve gets back,
I can't wait.
And we're going to talk about this faith-based film filled with a bunch of bad words.
Oh,
it's a rated R.
Things like "darn it" and
no,
"heck,"
no.
It's shoot,
a little bit darker than that.
Oh,
a little bit darker.
Well, I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say any of those.
Well, no, we can't say that. But,
not on the air, anyway.
Right? But this is making news. This new faith-based Christian film with rated R. It's kind of making waves right now because is it gonna bomb at the box office? Are people gonna watch this movie? Are the Christians, the majority of the Christians out there, are they going to be totally against this? That's what I want to talk about. So we'll discuss that in a little bit. Be fun.
Yeah.
Devo's back. Hi.
I don't know if it'll be fun.
I need to go to the bathroom. It's 8:06. Good morning.
High today of 80 degrees.
Sorry, I just put you on blast. My bad. Traffic! Told everybody you went to the bathroom.
Yeah,
and
well,
I just did it again.
I'm a human being.
Everybody does.
It's true. You are.
I ate breakfast this morning and I've been drinking a lot of water.
You drink a lot of water, man.
I do.
I have a small bladder.
I want to keep my voice healthy, man.
Yeah. Small bladder.
Well, there are no accidents to report this morning. There's about to be one in the studio when I accidentally hit Dex in the face. Thank you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's your look at traffic?
Thank
you.
There's no accidents because there was a major slowdown.
Was there?
Yeah. When I was trying to get off at San Antonio.
Yeah.
Really?
It looks very backed
in
up.
In fact, it was frustrating me because people are cutting across the solid white line.
And
you know, when you first, right under the Paseo Bridge, when you're going south and that one lane disappears, mm-hmm. people are staying in that lane and then cutting across the gore and into to try to exit. And I'm like, you can't. I wish I was a cop.
By the way, I got to say this traffic brought ticket. To you by For the Good. Screen printing, live printing, graphic design. You can find out more at forthegood.com or 505-508-5658. That's 505-508-5658. Thanks again to For the Good for their support of Star 88.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man.
Hey, well, yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I was just going to say, speaking of supporting Star 88, on the way in the door this morning, I found a nickel.
Oh.
He did.
So I'll give it to
Star 88. I'll take that.
I thought it was hilarious because he was like, I got a nickel. It's like, yeah, I saw that when I walked in this morning.
I thought it was
I left
quarter.
It there.
I thought it was a quarter.
Can I tell you? I want to admit this. I'm the one who dropped it this morning.
Are you serious?
And I didn't pick it up. Because I got my wallet out
and it fell out.
I heard this. I didn't know
coin
what it
bounce?
Was. I was thinking it was probably either a penny. Change is stupid. I just. And so I dropped and I'm like, I'm not going to even bend over to pick that up. I'm too tired.
Yeah.
So thanks for picking it up.
You can now you can have it back.
I'm giving back.
I found it's the equivalent of finding your wallet.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it would be the equivalent of finding my wallet with only a nickel in it.
Hey-o.
But I just said I don't like change, so you take it.
Yeah.
You don't like change.
Hey, did you hear about the guy who swallowed 10 pennies? He wanted to see the change in himself.
Okay.
Gosh. That was so bad.
Well, to coin a phrase.
Oh,
I just
my God.
Wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Beautiful, Sam.
Sometimes your puns make no sense.
All right, will you get that? Will you call that name?
Oh!
Thank you.
Nice one!
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm not even going to.
You should.
We're going to call my mom.
Okay. You should do that too.
Mother's Day.
I'll text
on
my
Sunday.
Mom. While you're calling your mom,
we can
I'll
call
text
your mom.
Mom
if you want. You want to call your mom?
She has a medical condition that she has to sleep. So I'll text my dad and see if she's awake.
Okay, good. My mom lives up in Montana. She works at Costco. She is one of the greatest moms in the world.
Hello?
Is this my mother?
Oh, man.
This is your mother.
Hi, Mom.
How are you?
How
Hi,
are
guys.
You?
Hey!
Hey.
Man.
What's up?
Just looking forward to talking to my mom. It's been a little while since we've talked on the phone.
Yes, it has.
What's the deal with that?
I get these little baby texts from you. And,
I know.
Mm, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm,
yeah.
That's weird. I talk to my mom all the time on the phone because I love her.
Oh, well, come on. Come on.
You can't ever get Dex on the phone.
I know, right? It's the worst. Now, did he get that from you? Like, did you like talking on the phone in the past?
Or? I don't like talking on
See?
The phone,
so
ever.
This is it. Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Mom. You raised him like this.
Yep.
Now he doesn't like talking on the phone, and I can never... I texted him yesterday. He never even texted me back.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I get the same thing.
I have social anxiety, guys.
Oh, he's the worst.
And it's funny because my dad is like that, too. A little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Not your brother, though.
No, that's what's so weird. The three of us are exactly alike, and then you have Michael John, who is...
Oh, yeah. He came from another planet.
Is he adopted? Just be honest. Let's talk about
this. Oh, my gosh.
No, is I can assure
mom,
you he was not adopted.
Mom,
no.
Come on.
No, we don't want to know.
It'll be fine.
I believe her. I believe her. Let's leave it there.
He's like 40 now.
Real life drama. Story. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the Toast Legacy drama.
So
we were talking yesterday about phrases that moms use. Did you hear us talking about that yesterday?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and the phrases that I can remember, maybe you can, if you can think of any, that'd be great. But I remember you saying, "It's far from your heart, Joseph. It's far from your heart." That was something you always said.
It's a long way from your heart.
It's a long
way
from your
heart. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your
yeah.
grandma used to get so mad at me because she thought I was just horrible for saying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
remember
that. It does sound kind of bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he made me tough, you know? Made me tough.
I didn't want to hear you cry, you know? And you just stub your toe or something. Just stop. It's a long way from your heart, you know?
Oh, I love that.
Oh, man.
I'm going to use that.
That's a good one. I really like that one.
And the other one is I can remember when I would be hungry or thirsty when I was a kid, and you'd be like, swallow your spit.
Oh, man.
I didn't say
yes,
that.
Yes, you did. Don't you lie. Oh, swallow your spit.
I think that was someone else. I didn't say that.
My other mom, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, your other mom, yeah. Right. Right. That was so sweet yesterday, all those things you said about your mom. I cried.
Did you?
You would remember that stuff. That was so precious. It just touched my heart. You couldn't have done anything better.
Yeah. See, there you go.
You hear my list, Sam, that I made for my mom?
I missed that part. I heard part of the show yesterday, but I didn't hear that part.
So I made a list, and I kind of worked on this all week. Okay. And these are the things that I miss about my mom. I miss her home-cooked meals. Her fried chicken was just so delicious.
My fried chicken? How about my cream tuna?
Oh, no, that was not good, Mom. We hated that. We were like, why do you add this to the dinner cycle? Because she had like five or six meals that she would just cycle through.
Yeah.
I miss going to the store with my mom. I was such a mama's boy. I'd be playing in the junkyard, and then I would hear my mom like leaving the house, and I would run so I wouldn't miss going to the store with my mom. You know.
Oh.
I miss the Black Angus trips. You know, for our birthdays, because all of us would celebrate by going to the Black Angus Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And I always got the steak imperial with the crab and cheese sauce.
Oh, so you good. Did. Yeah.
And you were always there, Mom. You were always there at all my different sporting events. Basketball, football.
That was the time of our life. That was amazing.
You would travel just hundreds of miles just to come and watch me play, you know, even if I didn't even make it in the game, you know. It was like you would travel all that way. The soap operas we used to watch together.
Oh, I missed that. That was the one thing that was ridiculous. We did not watch soap operas together. Stop telling people that. That's the one thing, Dex.
Everything else was fine, but that's the one thing.
I can't believe you're not going to...
Watching soap operas.
You're not going to admit that. But you know what? I'll let you have that.
I believe you.
Wait, which one
I don't
was
believe
it?
Dex.
Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say he's quite knowledgeable in the show. These anytime the we interview somebody from it, he knows storylines.
Like Mom, I know storylines.
He still watches it.
That's what I believe.
That is not true at all.
I'm with you.
All you have to do is ask who shot
Thank
whom.
You.
Oh, man.
I think one of my favorite memories of you is when you actually thought that my brother and I were smoking cigarettes.
Oh, no.
And we weren't at all. We weren't smoking cigarettes. But all of a sudden, you started like yelling at us, and you pull out a pack of cigarettes, and you're like, come here, follow me. And you took us out in the backyard. You pull out a pack of cigarettes,
this
and you're
can't
like,
be real.
You want to smoke cigarettes? Then let's smoke cigarettes. And you lit one up, and I'm sitting there going, What is happening right now? My mom is smoking a cigarette, and she's yelling at me, thinking that I smoke cigarettes.
Oh, man.
Well, wow. I think every kid does that once, you know. But you and your brother were so adamant about not smoking that was pretty foolish of me.
Well, what's funny about it is that I did. There was a time where I don't remember how old I was. I'd have been 7 years old. I found a carton of cigarettes in the junkyard. And I would sneak back there and smoke them.
Oh, my gosh. What are you doing?
And I'm dead serious. And when I ran out, I was done. I was like, well, I guess I'm out of cigarettes, you know?
Oh, that's disgusting.
It was.
Mom, why is he?
It was disgusting.
You are grounded, young man.
You are grounded. Yes.
You have to stay in the junkyard for 2 weeks.
There seriously is no statute of limitations when it comes to confessing things to your mom. Yeah. Seriously. Yes. She has full authority to ground you.
Yes.
Man, I just thought it was so cool just lighting one up in the junkyard.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. Don't ever let me find you with any of those.
Yeah, right?
You're
yeah.
There you go.
Amen.
Oh, man. Well, I love you, Mom, and I miss
I
you.
I love you, too.
I wish we lived closer. You know,
I know.
You're not
I
only a good mom,
too.
You're a good grandma.
Oh,
you're the best grandma.
Oh, thanks, honey. Sweet. I appreciate it. They're going to make me cry, so I better say goodbye.
Oh, no, don't cry, Mom. Don't cry.
It's okay.
I love you.
Oh. Love you, too.
Okay. I love you, man.
All right. Love you guys.
Okay. Love you,
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye.
Bye.
Now
you
now
you're
are
gonna make
a
me,
jerk!
Now you're going to make me cry.
I hate you right now. I'm throwing
I
something
love my
at
mama.
You. You are the biggest jerk. You just made your mom cry. Sam's crying.
I'm crying.
Dang it. Don't look at Sam. Now I'm crying. Oh, I hate you so much.
We live so far away.
I'm not really
Shut
crying. I just have tears
Dex.
In my eyes.
Gosh, that was emotional.
That was very tender.
Man.
Oh,
that was very tender.
I have the best mom.
I refuse to call my mom now.
Oh, yeah. Nope, you're up, buddy. You're up.
No! I don't want to.
Well, we can wait if you want to wait.
No, let's get out of the
okay,
way.
Okay, let's just
no,
get
are you
over.
Kidding? I'm like, no, I want to get through this segment.
Is there a box of Kleenex in here?
Gosh.
Oh, no. I'll just use Dex's sleeve.
Why do I have to call my mom after that?
Can I wipe my nose on your sleeve, Dex?
I'm going to call her on Sunday anyways. I don't need to talk
no,
to her right
it's
now.
It's a tradition. It's a tradition.
Please don't answer.
Please don't answer.
Please don't answer. Please
she decided.
She always answers.
She went to Walmart.
Please. She always
Hello?
Does.
Hello?
Oh, Mom!
Beautiful. Hi, Mom.
Good morning, honey.
Welcome to the show. Dang
oh,
it.
Well, good morning, Dex.
Good morning.
And Sam's in studio. He's a pastor. He's from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico. He's Baptist. You'll love him. He's yeah. cool.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
He's
I
your
do.
People. He's
Hi,
your people.
Sam.
Hi.
So we grew up Baptist. So, yeah. Mom,
yes, we did.
This is the annual we have to call our moms because it's Mother's Day phone call. And Dex just called his mom and it got really sappy. So I refused to do that. So there's no crying.
No.
There's no stupid reminiscing.
Here's what's beautiful.
I'm not
going to
confess
this.
Any dumb things I did
no,
as
no,
a
no,
kid.
No. He made a list for you.
No.
Of all,
oh,
of,
no.
all of the things he misses
Shut
about
up, Dex.
Being with his mom. Go ahead,
Steve-o. Oh, my gosh. No, okay. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to do this. Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart.
How is your day? I don't
Go
wanna.
Ahead, do the list.
No, here's the thing.
Okay.
I don't have to say things I miss because I still talk to my mom regularly. And it's because my mom is my everything. I mean, when I was a kid,
oh, don't cry.
I didn't have a dad, so I got my mom a Mother's Day card and a Father's Day card.
And yes, you did, honey.
Every year, we would celebrate yes. both together because she was my everything. So,
yes.
she still is. Oh. So I don't have to do this right now because I talk to her all the time because anytime I need anything, I call my mom.
Beautiful.
Do you know, can I tell you them Beautiful. Something about you, Steve?
Oh, man. I hate
this
you.
This is
Dex.
Great.
Okay.
This is so great. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mom.
All right. Your dad died, of course, at the end of the year, you know. And so, of course, we celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas without him. And then, of course, here comes Mother's Day. And I used to like this store called
Lena Stevens.
Oh.
In Lubbock, Texas.
It was her favorite store.
It was my favorite store, and I remember for Mother's Day, you asked me if you could have my credit card and if you could go to Lena Stevens, and here you were. I mean, you were only 6 years old, and you, I don't even remember who you went with. It had to be one of my friends, but you went to Lena Stevens with my credit card.
And I got you a white flowery dress.
Yes, and you got me a necklace, and it had a little gold thing, and it said Mom on it. And you bought me, I think, 3 or 4 different things.
Oh.
But you chose them all, and it was the most precious thing you did for me because you didn't want me to miss out on Mother's Day. So that's the kind of special, wonderful, loving son I have. And I love you so much.
It's a beautiful story. Dex, I hate you
no,
so
you
much.
No, you don't. This is so great.
I thought this was Mother's Day. Right. She's making it Sun's
Sam
Day.
Sam is crying. I'm crying.
She's making it Sun's Day. What? That's beautiful.
The Starmie's crying.
Beautiful story.
So beautiful. Gosh.
That was beautiful.
I still remember that dress, though. I still do. Because, seriously, Lena Stevens was her jam. Like, and,
yes.
Man, Mom, you were a rock star. You raised a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old. That's how old we were when my dad passed away. So anytime we talk about single moms, yeah. I think of this mom who had given up her career as an air traffic controller to stay home with 3 children. And then we lost my dad, and she had to somehow figure out how to raise 6-, 4-, and 3-year-old while going back to work to take care of everything because she was it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And man, did we have a crazy life.
Yeah.
We did. But Mom, I wouldn't be the person I am today if it weren't for you. So.
Wow. I love you and I'm so proud of you and your brother and your sister. I couldn't ask for better children. I'm the proudest mom I know.
Huh.
And I'm so grateful, and God has been faithful to us, and, you know, your dad is in heaven, and one day we'll all have a great reunion, but, you know, he left me here, and I'm so grateful that I'm still here to see you be such an awesome man and a father and a husband. And I love you, and I'm so proud of all of my grandchildren. 9 of them. 9. Wow,
beautiful.
There you go.
So beautiful.
All right, that's my mom. We have to go.
Bye.
Because thank I can't y'all. Do this.
Thank you for calling me. I love you. I love you, Dex.
Love you,
God
too.
God bless you, Sam. And
you too.
And you guys have a blessed day.
Hey, I can't wait for Harvest America because we're going to be out there broadcasting.
I'm going.
Seriously, I'll just so here. I can spend 4 days with you, Mom. I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you.
I love you.
Beautiful.
Okay. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Mom. I love
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye. Love Bye. You. Bye-bye.
That's my mom! Dude, I'm not even being funny right now. I'm so... I almost said a word I can't even say on the radio. You almost said dummy. I'm so angry with you.
I had to close my eyes most of that call because I was like, I'm going to just start crying like Steve-O. Oh, and God. I look over at Sam and he's just crying.
Well,
and I'm like,
because
oh, no!
You ambushed me, you
well,
jerk.
Well, I didn't ambush anybody.
Off.
Okay.
Stupid.
It's easier to wipe your eyes when your glasses are on.
And then the story, like, the funny thing is I had forgotten that until she mentioned the first Mother's Day without my dad.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, abort.
Gosh.
I'm going to hang
abort.
Up on her.
abort.
We can't do this.
Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
You know, I just got to say for all single moms out there, you are the most incredible superheroes on the planet.
Heck yeah, man.
The job you have and the job you do, and don't ever give up because we serve this phenomenal God that... Yeah. I know that it's crazy. I was a crazy kid and I did so many stupid things and I stressed my mom out all the time, but she never gave up. She was just constantly praying for us and loving us through all of our filth and stupidity and showed us more grace than any human being has ever shown me. And so,
beautiful.
Dude, you've got this, rockstar mom. Oh, happy Mother's Day!
Yeah.
Dude, the live line just blew up. People crying.
I hate you, Dex!
They're like, this is the greatest radio I've ever heard. I miss my mom. It's beautiful. All right, we have to take a break. Don't forget, call your mom on Mother's Day. She, you know, she wants that call. She does. No matter what, she wants to hear from you.
Call your mom today.
There you go. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about this this faith-based film, this Christian movie that is rated R and has a lot of profanity and a bunch of other things that this isn't even close to being a Christian film, but it's faith-based. So we're going to talk about it when we come back.
Hey! What's going on in the news today? President Trump signed an executive order calling for a commission to look into alleged voter suppression last year during the election.
Republican Committee Chair Richard Burr asked acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe if he ever heard former Director James Comey tell the president he was not the subject of an investigation.
Can't comment.
The study found a 20% to 50% increase in the risk of a heart attack after taking ibuprofen, naproxen, and other NSAID painkillers for as little as 1 week.
Aetna announcing it's pulling out of healthcare exchanges in two more states, Delaware and Nebraska.
Workers in New Orleans have removed another Confederate monument. The statue of former Confederate President Jefferson Davis has been taken down.
A stamp might cost 50 cents if the Postal Service wins approval to hike the price by a penny.
The U.S. is expected to extend its cabin ban on laptops and other electronic devices.
Fewer workers applied for jobless benefits last week, and the number of people collecting unemployment checks fell to the lowest level since 1988.
Oh, hello there. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a beautiful Friday. Hey, don't forget, Saturday night, Santa Ana Star Center. Chris Tomlin presents Worship Night in America. Big Daddy Weave, which we'll be talking to Mike from Big Daddy Weave at 9:45 this morning. He'll be there. Phil Wickham, Zach Williams, Jason Barton, Mosaic MSC. Tickets and all the info online at star88.fm/events. It's 8:32.
High today of 80 degrees. Traffic. There's an accident at 4001 Osuna Road Northeast in studio when Dex thought it was appropriate to call our moms.
Oh.
And
come on,
the crash I seen it. Happened. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
Dex came out of nowhere.
Really
Steve-O, Steve-O stopped at the sign, and just Dex just ran, plowed right into him.
That's my mom! It made a liar out of Michael W. Smith because he said that friends are friends forever, but it's just not the case anymore because
that's funny.
He accidentally lost his friend. There's seriously no accidents to report today. Driving conditions are really good. There's no more slowdown on I-25. Yeah, that's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Well, I don't know, guys. I wanted to put together a song, a special song for my mom today. I tried so many different takes and so many different songs, and I could not find the right one. I couldn't do it. I mean, it's my mom, and I want it to be the perfect song. I don't think I could. I couldn't do it. I gave up. But then I thought to myself, well, you know what? I don't want all this work to go to waste. So kind of put something together for you guys.
Okay.
Every year, we strive to bring you only the best Mother's Day song parodies. But some just don't meet the high standards of a quality morning show. Mother's Day just ain't the same. Now that she's older and don't know my name.
Oh my God.
Heavens.
I take her out, but she don't know why. Keeps asking strangers, who is this guy? Some were poorly conceived. Don't stop being mom. Come on now and give me a hug. Your cooking is on par.
Oh, man, it's terrible.
All day and all night.
Oh, my God.
I love
make
you,
stop.
Mom. Oh, oh.
Others were just downright mean.
So I just have to ask you once more. Are you for sure I'm yours?
This just took a turn.
Good.
Man.
Wow.
I told you guys, I just couldn't get it.
Proud of you.
And some were simply just a dumb idea.
Last night, out of the blue, called my mother and asked, how are you? She said, I hardly hear from you. How come you never call me? I just laughed and said, I don't know. But do you have any cash I could borrow? She said, son, honestly, I was the one who changed your linen. Spent all day cooking in the kitchen.
Happy Mother's Day from the Morning Invasion. We promise to only deliver the best in song parodies.
Well, that was really bad. Good.
Well, that's why. I mean,
really, really bad.
I didn't want it to go to waste.
I'm ashamed of you.
You know, I tried and tried to come up with that perfect song. Even Stephen Christian tried to help me. The Journey parody in there, that was his. I have to give him credit.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was his idea.
That,
But that, nothing really that was appropriate else. To, you know, just kind of play. Uh-huh. But I didn't want it to go to waste. There you go. I love you, Mom.
Wow.
I love you.
Wow. We should have done that instead of calling
Mom. Those weren't aimed at my mom. I mean, those were aimed at just different types of moms out there. We all have different moms. They're at different points in their life. Some don't remember who they are, and some do.
What?
Okay. Okay, let's open up the lines. Let's discuss this. This is, I saw this morning in the news, and I think this is a good discussion to have. Because I think most of us that are listening right now are all, we're all in different walks in our lives. Yeah. You know, we're all in different places when it comes to our walk with Christ. And I might think differently about this story we're going to read than, let's say, you, Sam, or even Steve-O. I think we might even disagree on this. But there's a faith-based movie on the way called Generational Sins. And people are kind of freaking out about it because, well, it's not your typical Christian faith-based movie. It has 32 bad words. And it also talks a lot about, I mean, not just the profanity is bad, but that it deals with child abuse, alcoholism. But ultimately, the whole story is it's the redemption through Christ. I mean, that's what the movie's about. At the end, it's about finding that redemption with our Savior. And the filmmakers say it's all for adults, not just the religious audience. But you have critics, they're saying this film is doomed. This film, Christians are not going to go and watch this because of the swearing. The producer said this. He said, quote, "We live in an R-rated world, and covering up the darkness won't bring it into the light. There is objective gospel truth in this movie. Hollywood stereotypes Christians as nutty fruitcakes detached from reality. But that's not the case. And as Christian filmmakers, we'd like to demonstrate that." So that's what the producer of the movie said. I want to throw it out there and ask, do you think that this movie is doomed? Because I don't necessarily think it is, because I watch rated R movies. I know that's a shocker.
Whoa!
But I do. I watch rated R movies, and I saw this, and I was like, this is the type of, if I'm going to watch a rated R movie, that's the type of rated R movie that I want to watch. Something that has the story of redemption, you know, through Jesus Christ, you know, like real life stuff that people go through. When I watch a lot of these Christian films, I don't necessarily enjoy most of them. I mean, there's been a couple that I've enjoyed, but for the most part, they're kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
The acting's not all that good. They might be good for kids, and that's that, you know, there's a whole audience for it, you know. I don't know. Sam, are you generally a fan of the Christian film industry?
No. There have been a couple that I've watched.
But you're Baptist! These movies are made for you! You are literally the target audience of God's Not Dead 3, the Trinity. They're not making that. I was going to
say,
one
is that really?
It's like three?
God's Not
me?
Dead 3.
Now, I have to admit.
But I mean, come on. You got to finish the Trinity.
They're getting... I suppose.
God's still not dead.
God is still, and will never, ever be dead.
Yeah.
That's the final of the movies, right?
That's where they end it.
I think some of them have gotten better.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm concerned that we sacrifice holiness for authenticity. And what I mean by that is, it's more important for somebody to be real in their faith than to be holy. And God has called us to be holy. And as He's transforming us from the inside out, that creates an authenticity. And there's a difference between living a holy life and being a holier than thou type of a person, where you're judging everybody else who doesn't live up to your standard. Who cares what your standard is?
Yeah.
The standard is
set by God, and I'm responsible for my life and how I live that, and the words that I say, and the things that I put in my mind, and that kind of stuff like that. And I'm also a little concerned that, well, first of all, since I haven't seen this movie,
right,
I can't really say a lot to it. Just because it's rated R and it's got cuss words in it, right, the acting may be horrible in this movie,
no, you're
too.
You're right. You're right.
I went to go see Scarlett Johansson. People would consider her a good actress. She's been in some good movies.
Sure.
She plays a crucial role in the Marvel, the Avengers.
Cinematic universe.
Oh, my gosh. She's wonderful as Black Widow. She did a movie called Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
And after that movie was over...
Yeah, we were the same way.
I wanted my money back.
I haven't seen it.
For this reason. I tweeted Scarlett Johansson and I said, you owe me money because this was horrible. It was horrible. Yeah. And it had cussing. It wasn't rated R, but I think it was PG-13. So I think that to sort of predict how it's going to do just because it's a faith-based movie that has cussing in it, that's almost a silly discussion to have because if you haven't seen the movie, we can't speak intelligently to whether got good acting
or bad
acting. Right. And I, as a youth pastor, as somebody who wants to know what's going on with culture, I occasionally will either investigate stuff like this, either to go see the – now, there's some movies, rated R movies, that I know I have no business going to see. Absolutely
sure.
No business going to see.
And I'm the same way. Exact same
way. And there's some – Schindler's List would be an example. It's rated R because it's
Passion intense. Of the Christ.
Horrible. Yeah. yeah. So there, I want to, I appreciate a well done movie as much as anybody else, but I also feel like we have to be very careful that we don't blur the line between living an authentic faith and living a life of holiness. And I don't think those are exclusionary. And I think that's a big thing going on in the Christian world right now. There are those who feel like, I'm human, I'm going to mess up, but I still love God. Well, that's a great testimony. But what are you doing to allow God to transform you and make you into what he wants you to be? We always say, well, that's how I am. That's how God made me. Yeah, but God's remaking you. Mm-hmm. And you can't just use, well, I'm just being real with my faith. I think that's part of what's going on in our world today, where we're afraid to say something emphatically. I'm not thinking of the right word. Where we're drawing a line in the sand. We're afraid of drawing lines in the sand because other folks will say, well, I'm just being myself. I'm just being real. And I don't, God wants us to be real with one another and with himself. He wants us to be genuine. But he also has called us to be holy.
Right.
And to be obedient to his commands. And because I'm being obedient or trying to be obedient and you're not, I'm not going to judge you for that. What I'm going to do is try to come alongside you and try to figure out how together we can help each other to live a holy life and be obedient. And it's way above that word that we keep throwing out, accountability. It goes so much deeper than just accountability. In fact, I rarely use that word. I hate that word because it's much – we're not just trying to hold each other accountable. We are sharpening one another. Iron sharpens iron, as it says in Proverbs. And it's much bigger than just – I want to make sure that you don't sin, Dex. And so I'm going to ask you hard questions so that you feel guilty when you know – you've messed up and you have to admit to me because I'm your accountability partner. That's ridiculous. Right. So I know I've kind of strayed a little bit from the film thing. But we are so – I think we're in danger of blurring that line between authentic faith and holiness, and there's not a line. It's they're not exclusive. They go hand in hand.
How about the other end of the spectrum, the Christian bubble – that we can put ourselves in.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
You know, where we have to live in the gated community.
Yeah.
We have to go to church twice a week. I know we have to go once a week. Yeah. We don't ever cuss. And if anybody cusses, oh my gosh, or, you know, I have to pray this many times a day and I have to have just Christian friends and I can only listen to Christian music and I have to wear the Christian t-shirt. Yeah. That's a scary place to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it comes down to discernment. I think we have to learn to be able to figure out what is healthy for us to put into our lives through our eyes and our ears. And that's something that is part of the growth process, the sanctification process. After we get saved, when we invite Christ to into our life to be our Lord and Savior, after we do that, he instantaneously he saves us and makes us brand new, and then at the same time begins a lifelong process of transformation, sanctification, making us what he wants us to be. And so we're all on a journey to try to learn from God's Spirit and let him have more and more control of our lives as we surrender some of that. So that's part of the difficulty too, is that I may be on a different part of my journey than somebody else.
Right.
And as I'm talking to somebody and they're like, well, I'm not there yet. And I'm like, well, that's cool. You're still on the journey, and I'll do what I can to help you on the journey. And I can hopefully speak wisdom. Sometimes I wonder if anything that I say has wisdom at all, but I can hopefully help you with that, or maybe you're the one who's further along in your journey, and I can glean and learn stuff from you. Mm-hmm. I think we just have to be real careful, especially since the movie's not even out yet, to say it's going to flop. It's going to
I guess the question I want to throw out there too is, you know, as a Christian listening right now, I would like to know, would you go and watch this movie knowing that it's rated R? But it's a faith-based movie. Would you go and watch this? Well, that's what they said in the article. It says that they are they're advertising it as a faith-based movie.
Sort of. I'm going to say sort of because Generational Sins, it's directed by Spencer T. Fulmer. It's written by Fulmer and a crew of others, overflowing with profanity, multiple uses of the F word. It also references child abuse, alcoholism. It's going to be a gnarly film, which obviously is a huge departure. God's Not Dead had one, quote, objectionable word within the church, and that's the C word, C-R-A-P. We don't use that word. This movie is about child abuse, alcoholism, but ultimately redemption through Jesus Christ. So what's interesting is it's going to be offensive, sadly, I think, to everybody. Certain Christians are going to be offended by it. On the flip side, the LGBTQ community is probably going to be pretty offended by it.
There's gay slurs.
Because there's gay slurs in it.
Yeah.
Movie Guide, they do a yearly report on the entertainment industry from a Christian perspective. They break down films into all these categories. And they're actually giving Generational Sins their lowest ranking when it comes to language, because there are 32 uses of profanity in the film. And they say that if the movie is advertised as faith-based, it will not do well. Because in 2016, movies with no foul language made an average of $61.4 million domestically, while films with more than 25 curse words made $34 million. And that's just in general. That's not a Christian... statistically, because they say it's off-putting for the audience. Yeah. Because nobody swears that much in public.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Or hardly anybody.
30-something times within an hour span is like, dude, is this a Mark Wahlberg film? Is this Patriots Day?
Yeah.
Because that movie, seriously, the first three words of the film are the same word. Yeah. And it's you know, but it's Boston. It's authentic. Here's the thing, though. The executive producers are saying that they're not going after the religious audience and that they are not calling it a faith-based film. They said people will call it faith-based, and we can't help that because it's ultimately about redemption through Jesus Christ. But they are marketing this film specifically to secular audiences.
Gosh, I almost think it's going to bomb.
Yeah.
You know, because because if they are...
I agree with you.
Once the audience that isn't Christian finds out that it's ultimately about Jesus Christ,
right,
they're not going to go and watch it. Most of them,
maybe,
I don't think would.
Because I think of certain bands like Chevelle.
Yeah.
When they were first going, you know, they were a quote Christian band, and the music stood for itself. Like, it was good. And so it didn't matter if it was proselytizing in their eyes Jesus, if it was good. Man, Wonder What's Next was such a phenomenal record.
and people ate it up even after they found out these dudes were, quote, Christians. I say quote because they have since stepped away and they're like, dude, we are not a Christian band.
Right.
But if it's a good movie, do you think really that matters?
But with technology now and how easy it is to jump online to check reviews to see what people are commenting on Facebook
like,
about.
Oh, this is a Christian movie.
At the end, this is a great movie, but then all of a sudden they threw Jesus out there. And it's like, I don't know. I think that if you are going to isolate, if you're going to take away the Christian market, if you're not going to go for the Christian market and you're just saying, we're putting this film out there for everybody, and maybe the purpose is so that people will hear about Christ and see the redemption and the forgiveness through Jesus Christ and ultimately come to faith. I mean, that's, I would hope, is the message, right?
See, and I want to say somewhat. I don't want to say that that is, and it's not, because clearly from the executive producer standpoint, they're saying they're going after the, quote, secular audiences because it is about redemption in Jesus Christ. But they're going to get pigeonholed no matter what. I mean, this is the entertainment industry. Chris Stone, who's the founder of Faith Driven Consumer, he's an advocacy group for Christians, actually says he's going to recommend this film. But to adults, not families. He said, quote, it's more graphic than uncomfortable with, but it's not unrealistic. It's an accurate portrayal of brokenness, sin, and he says some Christians will opt out because it's an R-rated film.
Yeah.
They said they're not shying away from anything. We live in this R-rated world. And so
we kind of had this conversation off air. I asked you, do you think that there is a bigger audience, Christian audience, for you and I?
Is there a bigger audience for God's difference. Not Dead or this kind of film?
Yeah, you and I are, you can't put us in the God's Not Dead audience because we think it's cheesy and we don't like those movies. Sorry, guys, we just don't.
There's some that are not bad.
Okay, but we don't like God's Not Dead.
I've never seen it.
What?
No, dude.
You always trash it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to trash
it. I shouldn't say that I trash it. It's that thing. It's that typical.
And you're right.
I watched it.
It was cheesy.
So I'm not going to say it's a terrible film. I've never seen it.
For me,
it's because it's not.
You and I have similar tastes.
It wasn't made for me.
Right.
Yeah.
You and I have similar tastes, and I think that's for a different audience in the Christian world. I get that. But this seems like it's kind of more up our alley, you know, where it's, in a way, we go and watch secular movies all the time. You know?
Yeah.
I like to watch something that's real. When I watch a Christian faith-based movie, I don't think that's real life most of the time.
Most of the time.
Like, that's just kind of cheesy, fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's a good message, and my kids can get a good message out of it.
I know what you're saying about real life.
Right.
But did you like Jurassic Park?
Loved it.
That's not real life.
Sure it is. You know what they're doing with...
For people just chiming in, by the way, we're talking about
a
film called Generational Sins. And it's an R-rated film created by Christians. They say for a secular audience. They're not gearing it towards the Christian audience. But it is ultimately about redemption in Jesus. But it tackles alcoholism, and it's about child abuse.
See, and I'm less bothered by the alcoholism and child abuse subject matter in the movie. Because that is real life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
We
can't sanitize the world we live in. There is not enough Clorox in the universe to sanitize our world, because we live in a fallen world. It's broken. It's busted, and has been for a long, long time. And that's why Jesus had to come in the first place, because of what happened in the garden. And so there has to be redemption. And but I guess the question is, is there a way to show real life without doing it so graphically?
Sure.
You know, I mean, a lot of people loved The Passion of the Christ, and there were parts of it that I watched. As I was watching it, I was moved. I mean, it was a powerful depiction.
Yeah.
But as is evidenced in other Mel Gibson movies, the violence was over the top for me. I mean, the cross was horrible.
Yep.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But did it have to be portrayed like it was in the movie?
I almost think it did.
I know. I go back and forth with this in myself.
Oh, I hear you.
And if I was there,
my kids still have not seen that.
Right. But I just know that Mel Gibson has a history of splattering blood on people in his movies. Yeah. And I know that when Christ was whipped and they depicted that in the film, that was horrible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I sang a musical, a church musical called Celebrate Life. Oh gosh, I just dated. Everybody knows I'm old anyway.
Man, Sam, you're so
and
old.
There's a part in there where we're playing the crowd and we're saying, give us Barabbas, crucify him, crucify. And I lost it like I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Just saying that,
right.
Standing on a choir riser.
Yeah.
In my jeans and t-shirt matching everybody else. And for me to cry out, crucify him, that killed me.
Yeah.
I was very uncomfortable saying that.
I mean, it should.
Me.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Like, yes, it
I mean,
should.
The cross.
Because
was,
it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
horrible.
And when you see what he was willing
done.
To endure, yes.
Had to be done. And I think, again, I am not an expert on film. I like films that the critics don't like because
it's
I just want to be entertained.
Dang it.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm not an expert on this stuff. I just know that as believers, we have to be very careful about letting authenticity trump holiness. Before we go, Dex, let me just share this real quick.
Yeah, sure. You got 30 seconds.
I know. And my phone is slow. As followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to make sure, and here it comes. I can't. It's gone.
You're okay. Yeah. Well, we could do it when we come back.
I'll find it.
You'll find it, and then a lot of people chime in.
Yeah, so many comments.
I'm sure.
So many comments.
I'm sure.
585 Live, if you'd like to jump into the discussion. We're talking about this upcoming Christian movie loaded with profanity. It's called, Generational Sins is the name of the movie. So we'll recap. We'll do your, read your text messages. You can call us 338-3700. We'll be right back. The Afters. Good morning. Sorry, I had my headphones turned down. It's starting. Hey, good morning. It is 9:04.
High today of 80 degrees. Traffic. Well, taking a look at the roads, no accidents to report this morning. It's been relatively calm. There's some new construction popping up Wyoming Boulevard south of Montgomery. The right lane is closed there. Also in the Academy area between Ventura and Eubank, the roadway is reduced to one lane, so you're going to want to be careful there. Other than that, everything's looking good. That's your look at traffic. Traffic brought to you by For the Good, screen printing, live printing, graphic design. Check out forthegood.com or 505-508-5658. That's 505-508-5658. Thanks again to For the Good for their support of Star 88.
585 Live, if you'd like to text into the show. Or you can call us at 338-3700. We're talking about this movie, Generational Sins. And it's made headlines because it's not necessarily the creators of the movie. They said that they're not calling it a faith-based movie, even though ultimately it is about the redemption through Jesus Christ. But it's kind of, people are talking about it. It's creating buzz because there's a lot of profanity in it. There's child abuse, alcoholism. It's a pretty intense movie, they said. And some Christian critics say the movie is completely doomed because of the swearing and some of the other things in the movie. But it does, they said, give a realistic and an accurate portrayal of brokenness and sin. And that could be embraced. But we just watched the trailer during the break.
Yeah.
And man alive, I am very disappointed. I was hoping for
maybe it was the first trailer. You
it's
know, sometimes
the
how the first
the teaser
comes out and you're like, "That's not. I don't know."
The trailer should always be better than the movie. That's the rule. You know, when you watch a trailer, they can make it look like it's the greatest thing on earth.
And then when you
watch the movie,
you go see
the
movie, and you say all the best stuff
right.
was in the trailer.
This trailer does not make me want to go watch the movie.
I did like the baseball bat breaking the bottle. That was cool.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That was the glass shattered in slow motion, which makes it always more dramatic.
Yeah,
yeah.
We were. If you want to go to YouTube, you can just type in "Generational Sins" trailer and you can watch it. But we were talking about how we're not a fan of most of the Christian films out there because of the cheesiness. This seems like the cheesy bad acting, but then they are going to throw in the profanity.
But to be relevant, we're going to throw in some cursing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're judging it. I will say that watching that trailer, it was like, ooh, yeah, no. Because it had those stereotypical, like, I'm behind the wheel drinking and check me out with my bottle of whiskey. You know, and it was like, but it just didn't look, artistically speaking, it just looked like those shock and awe.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
See, and so I would defer to you on stuff like that, Steve-O, because I trust your
it did not look like a great trailer.
Analyzation of the artistic side of it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because like I said before we went off air, I go to movies because I like them. And the critics may destroy it because it wasn't very artistic, but it made me laugh or it made me cry. And maybe I'm a simpleton. Yeah. But, you know, that's all I care about.
Live lines blown up. The phone lines. We got people on the phone.
585 live. You want to text in or call us at 338-3700. Good morning.
Yeah.
Hey, yes.
Buck, what are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, can I? I'm actually sitting in line at a place getting a breakfast burrito right now before my long day of building legacies.
I'll take one. Nice. Nice. Bacon extra crispy.
Please. See, and I'd rather have like carne with cheese.
That's what I got. I got carne with cheese.
Heck yeah, bro. Nice. Peas in a pod.
Great minds. Hey, so is that film, are the stars Kirk Cameron and Stephen Baldwin?
No,
I didn't recognize anybody in the film, honestly. We just watched the trailer.
Drew Caldwell.
Who?
Okay, Daniel McPherson. Dax Spenoggle.
Not
Dax Shepard.
I wish.
There's nobody that I recognize No.
Well, it's got to be a bust then, because any Christian movie worth its salt has Kirk Cameron and Stephen Baldwin in it.
So here's the thing. The dude that plays the lead in Generational Sins is from the Shannara Chronicles.
I watched that.
APB. He plays Scott Murphy on APB.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
So he's been on some things.
I actually watched that show, that APB show.
That was canceled yesterday. Did you guys see that? Yesterday
was
the big death day for TV. I've got a list of all these shows.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah. It was canceled.
I knew that was coming, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So he's been in a few things, you know, so he's not like, hey, man, your cousin, I heard he was in a play once. Can we get him? He's from the church. So at least it's not that. It's people that have been in some things. But it just didn't.
The movie's going to be cheesy.
No, stop it. You don't know that.
No, you can tell by the trailer.
The girl that's the lead in it, is from a little movie called The Fate of the Furious. And also Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. So
never heard of it.
Yeah, she's been in a few things as well.
Yeah,
so
an extra, or is
she was waitress too? I don't know what that means. I'm just kidding. I just made that up.
Because you know, Internet Movie Database is a great resource to look that stuff up. But sometimes they'll put, you know, I was standby. Innocent standbyer. Is that? I'm not even saying it right. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. You hear me? You feel me?
I don't know.
Even
if
though
I am.
I'm tripping over my. Well, let's start over.
One of the actors in it currently plays Goofy, and I do mean that Goofy from like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and he was Goofy in a Goofy movie. He's also from Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., so...
Yeah, the movie's, it's not going to do well.
Okay, fine.
So, the method actor is what you're saying.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyways. Hey, did you go out to that wedding yet, or is that still...
Oh, I go actually, I leave next Friday.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, next Friday I leave for that. And, still a little anxious, you know, but I think that's probably normal.
Yep, totes. Yeah, I just said totes. I'm in my 30s, I said totes.
Yeah.
Talking to a lot of people about it, you know, praying a lot with a lot of people about it, you know, so I know it's going to be fine. It's just weird.
Yeah. I hear you.
Well, can't wait to hear what happens, man.
Yep.
Just weird. So, I wanted to call. I heard you talked to your mom, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Good job. I missed the phone call with Mama Dex. But,
it was very emotional.
It's always emotional.
How's your mom doing? Man, we used to call your mom every year, and how's she doing?
She's all right. She's up in, up in the hills doing her thing.
Yeah?
She's cool.
Good.
Yeah.
She hasn't moved in yet, huh?
Yeah. No. I'm actually remodeling my basement and in a bathroom, and I think she thinks it's for me to move her.
Well, it is. You need to make that happen. You know, I've been on your case about that for about 10 years now.
Yeah, you need to stop that, too.
Well.
but I wanted to call and find out what awful gift you're getting your wife for Mother's Day.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you.
Dude, always you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're the worst gift giver ever.
Yep.
And I wanted to call and see if I could maybe help you.
I got her this blow dryer that's pretty fancy that I saw. It was an ad on Facebook, and it looked very futuristic. And I was like, dude, she would love this blow dryer.
Oh, my gosh.
What? Nothing? No? That's about bad gift.
Well, the step up from a lawnmower, like yeah, that 1 year.
That's
so
true. Well, I needed a lawnmower.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you don't buy it for your wife.
I know. It's true.
Yeah. So, all right.
Well, send me some ideas. All right,
I just wanted to check in with you guys, man, and say hi. And, you know, Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. You guys are vastly appreciated. And, you know, that's beautiful. It.
There you go.
Thanks, Buck.
Love you, man.
Yeah.
See you later.
Later, yeah. Buddy. It's my old co-host.
So, we've had so many people chime in. We're talking about a movie called Generational Sins, which is made by Christians, not for Christians. It's R-rated. Deals with child abuse, lots of language. The synopsis is,
a dying mother tells her last wish to her eldest son that he take his younger brother to the place they were born. Despite tragic family history, hope gives promise to the future.
I don't know.
That's the synopsis. Really, that's the only synopsis.
Yeah.
And we saw the trailer, and I mean,
it's bad acting.
Well, we don't know that. It's a trailer. It's a 1 minute trailer, and it's like little clips. So maybe it's bad editing. We don't know. It could be terrible.
If it's bad editing on the trailer, it's going to be bad editing on the movie.
No. Because sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, a movie studio will hire out a production company to make the trailer for them. They don't make their own trailers.
Okay, but that was a terrible trailer, and you need to tell me that the movie's going to be let's say the movie was
great. I'm just not a prejudger. Prejudger.
The trailer always has to be better than the movie.
No, it does not.
That's the number one rule in Hollywood, bro.
Okay.
Everybody knows that.
Anyways, a lot of people chiming in on whether or not they would be interested in seeing a film like that. Somebody said if it's doomed, it won't be because of the profanity and child abuse. It'll be because it's been labeled a faith-based film. Reality is messy. Faith-based movies don't really acknowledge this. They paint a pretty picture of Christianity by conversion. By cleaning up the life-changing process of Jesus changing lives, they are belittling his work. Somebody else said, Anna, in Las Cruces. I took my two girls, 10 and 12, to see Last of the Mohicans, Schindler's List, and Ghost. All rated R and examples of clear contrasts between good and evil. Had great in-depth spiritual discussions afterwards.
Ghost is one of the greatest Christian movies of all time.
Shut your mouth. But dude, Last of the Mohicans, that's pretty bloody.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Did you see the prequel to that came out? It was the next to the Last of the Mohicans.
Okay. Go away. Go away. Let's see. Somebody said, what? A movie about real life where people swear their lives are jacked up and they take their anger out on their kids and bash people who aren't like them? Sounds like our lives for the most part. Our lives are R-rated, apparently. Oh gosh. Okay. Nope.
Okay.
Somebody said, as a Christian, I'm opening to watching this. This could be a great tool for reaching my non-believing friends and family who don't understand redemption.
Hmm.
Somebody said there's a lot of Christians today that won't even go near people that swear. I think it would be good for Christians to see this movie because it is real life. So many times Christians, and I speak for myself, can be in a bubble where we refuse to see what real life is. It's time to step out of that bubble and love like Jesus loved, even if it means dealing with some foul language every now and then.
Right. I like
that. Yeah. Gosh, a lot of people are saying, you know, I would go see a really compelling story. Like Silence, which was rated R as a side effect, but making a movie rated R just for the sake of being rated R sounds idiotic. And that's my question.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
What is the motivation? Because it did kind of look like a kind of cheesy, quote, Christian film, but they're like, but we're going to salty the language and get an R rating.
Yeah.
For relevancy. And it's like, no, because that's not authentic either. If you're doing it with improper motivation and hopes to reach a different audience because you're going to be gritty for the sake of being gritty and not.
Well, here's my question. Let's take like King Arthur, that movie that's coming out this weekend. It's going to be, some are saying that it's going to bomb at the box office just because we had a monster movie like Guardians of the Galaxy come out last weekend.
Yeah.
But we've been wanting to see that movie. It has some great actors in it. It has a story of redemption in it, even though it's not the story of Christ. If you take a movie like that, let's say Deadpool. Had the caliber of actors.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's got Guy Ritchie. He's the one who created the movie, produced the movie, directed it. And you put a great story in there. Would it do good at the box office with the blood, the violence? Maybe there is some language in it. Would it still do good if there was a story of redemption through Jesus Christ and it was a blockbuster movie of that caliber, like a King Arthur or just a good movie that we, when we go to the theaters, we watch and we come out going, man, that was a great movie. I had fun watching that.
I think we would have to clearly define what we mean by would it be a hit, because sadly, even if it is clean, we as Christians are nitpickers when it comes to anything to do with the gospel. Like, if it's not stated a certain way, if it's not said like this, if you don't use this term, then for the Christian audience at large, I would say it would still flop. Because, well, it doesn't matter if there's language or not. We as Christians are seriously the worst when it comes to watching somebody else's portrayal of the gospel. Do you know what I mean? Does this make sense? Because all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I mean, clearly, theologically, they would have never blah, 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 blah. Or, well, I just didn't like the part where, and we'll nitpick it to death when it's not your piece of art and it's subjective. And the director and the writer and whoever was putting it together, like, from their perspective, this was the best way to relay the gospel. And yet, I mean, we do this in church. We do this at youth events, whatever it is. And it's like, well, I just didn't like the way the band said this, or I didn't like the way that the worship pastor had to blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, it's not for you. This is the gospel. You know Jesus? Cool. Right on. Dude, we're in the same family. Now go away, because that wasn't for you, and all you're doing is destroying somebody else's ministry.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I'm sorry, but it's frustrating because it's true. It doesn't matter. We're talking about this film, and it's going to fail no matter what, because we are the biggest critics. Because it's got to be exactly how we were converted, right? Exactly how we heard the gospel, or else it's not it. Oh, wait, you draw people to the front to pray with you? Well, we didn't do that. I just raised my hand in church. So I just raised my hand in church.
But no matter what, you're right. There's going to be Christians out there that are going to nitpick everything.
Oh, of course.
But I'm talking about, let's say, us right now. I mean, we enjoy going and watching a good blockbuster movie.
Sure.
Even if it is rated R and there's violence and there's cussing, we can leave a movie appreciating the art of the movie. We can leave it just having fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's what a lot of Christians are craving? Because I'm talking about, we're saved, we're Christians, and we don't really go to those cheesy Christian movies, even though there's a market for it and we see there's money being made with it. But us as Christians, I think we're dying for something like that. A good, solid, good acting, a big blockbuster budget, and it has a story of our King, you know, our God, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I think the problem will always come in when we label it Christian. I don't think it will ever. I'm sorry, but I just. Maybe I'm being a negative Nancy, but I don't think we'll have that. Because again, if it has to be the story of Jesus, I mean, even Passion of the Christ, we're in here talking about the film that depicts the crucifixion of our Savior. And there are people on both sides that thought it was an excellent film and people on both sides that thought it was too graphic, not graphic enough because the cross was bloody and disgusting and messy. It should be, you know what I mean?
But didn't it break a record for being the number one rated R movie? It's something, there's a record.
Then Deadpool comes out, but
it did well.
It did really well. But guess what? That was also because it was marketed so fantastically by their team. Seriously, do you remember when that movie came out? Every single church had like bulletins and everything going on, and it was like, this is the Christian movie that's gonna save Christian movies. Seriously,
it
was marketed to us.
That's the
and
one,
we ate it up because we're Christians and we're sheep.
And that's the movie that opened the floodgates for everybody coming out with these kind of movies to market directly to the church.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was
which
the first
is unfortunate
one that they started sending flyers, because I was on staff at a local church when that
when that one came out, and we started.
Oh, dude!
Then every movie that came out,
I was at Heights Cumberland Church
and all kinds of. Yeah.
I saw the trailer there because it was a big to do, and people were so excited, and we're going to take our entire church, and a lot of churches did that very thing, and then when they left the theater, it was divided.
Yeah,
people were divided on it, but everybody still went to go see it because it was like the first big one, so of course it did well, and then after that, because I just think. Where we get cross-eyed with these things are when it has to be a film of Christ. Because that's what you're saying. A, quote, Christian film that has the gospel in it. Well, guess what? C.S. Lewis always said that he doesn't want better Christian books, right? He wants great books by Christians. And so I don't think it has to be a, this is Jesus, this was the story of Peter and Christ, and
that's because why we go and watch other movies.
Phenomenal redemptive stories.
We're in the same boat because we go and watch those stories that we see people, Christians that, you know, they don't call them Christian movies, but we know that they're Christians that made these awesome movies.
Yeah.
And we love them and we can appreciate them.
Redemption.
But we have no, I want that blockbuster film. I love Passion of the Christ.
Go watch Lord of the Rings.
I want that again. I crave that again.
Right.
I want that good acting. I want to be entertained. I want it to be real. I want to be an experience when I go watch it.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't think it's ever going to happen because if you want that film, imagine somebody creating a movie based upon Johnny Cash wrote a book called The Man in White, and it was a novel based upon the New Testament telling of the life of Paul. It's the life of Paul in novelization form written by Johnny Cash. And it's fantastic. But unfortunately, it didn't do well because they were, quote, liberties taking. Because Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn is. Johnny Cash made it about a woman. And so people...
That's pretty close.
Right. And so people were like... Oh, well, we don't know that. And you just added to the Bible. And so no matter what, people will, it's going to come down to that. Like, oh, no, we can't touch this. This is blasphemy because you have added to something. So unless it's like line by line, biblical and outside of us as Christians, nobody else wants to see that because they don't care about the Bible.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to them. And so will we ever get this rad, epic Life of Paul movie? That would be fantastic. I would love to see that because he's got such a compelling story.
Right.
Or David and Bathsheba. You know what I mean? You think of David. We've had this in TV shows and different things. And guess what? The church shied away from it because it was really freaking messy.
Yeah.
He murders, so he kills this giant and he cuts his head off and he's wearing a hand on his belt. And then he commits adultery with this naked chick that he sees on his roof. And then he murders her husband.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course people are going to be like, this isn't a Christian film. Cool. Well, it's in the Old Testament. It's actually in the Bible. But people were divided, and that's why, like, sadly, so many TV shows that try and do this, that are like, hey, we're going to go through the Bible, they get railed on because of the scenes. It's like, well, that was too graphic. We didn't need that.
Yeah.
Cool. Go read Song of Solomon and tell me you don't need that.
Yeah. Right. 585 Live if you want to text in, or 338-3700 if you'd like to call us.
Our boy Buck just texted in and said, Hacksaw Ridge. Have you guys seen Hacksaw Ridge?
And it was,
I have not.
So good.
That's he said,
good
a Mel Gibson movie with a total
good
Christian theme underlying it, but it wasn't marketed as a faith-based film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, I need
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. Yeah, he played the pacifist. Well, not a pacifist. It was a different term. Yeah.
It was so good.
About being a medic, right?
Yeah.
He was a medic. Okay.
And he wouldn't carry a weapon.
A member on the Starmie chimed in and said, I am so sick of Christians thinking we have to make, quote, Christian movies or Christian coffee shops. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. Could we maybe learn how to have a gospel conversation with someone based on, I don't know, Harry Potter, Braveheart, something like that? Stop being lazy. Use your brain. Talk to people. Paul used, quote, secular poetry, although that title didn't exist then, to make his point while preaching in the book of Acts.
Yep.
Maybe we should do it too.
Right? You think? Good morning.
Man, good.
That was a good word.
Good morning, guys.
So, hi.
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead, man. You're on.
So, I hear what you're saying, but to to throw the pendulum in the other direction, you've got a lot of movies that are coming out, like, for example, Noah, which took tons of liberties. So where do you draw the line and say, okay, we're going to allow this, but we're not going to allow that? And that's where you see that broad spectrum of Christians coming in and saying, nah, I don't really like the liberties taken here, and you're taking a stance at this point saying, that's okay, but this is not. And there's some other Christians who might be a little more liberal with their doctrine who might think that Noah would be okay. Whereas there's other Christians who are like, blasphemy, I'm not even touching that movie. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's you are seriously... Yeah, no, you are full on... I don't think it's the other side. I think you're adding to the same point, because that's the point. We'll never get that because you're right. Mm. Either A, we will take a look at it and say, well, I can't watch this because we went and saw Noah and I was like, dang, dude, I don't remember the rock monsters in the Book of Genesis. This is stupid.
Yeah, but I left that movie going, I can appreciate it because I thought it was a fun movie.
Well, you're a dumb popcorn eating movie-goer.
I thought it was a fun movie, even though it wasn't biblical.
See, look, we're already divided. I thought that movie was stupid.
Really?
Yes,
see,
dude.
I thought it was okay. I had a good time watching it. It was all right.
I wasn't offended. I just couldn't get past the rock monsters because it was more based upon what, the Book of Enoch, I believe, right? Than the actual Old Testament. And so,
hey, you never know.
But it was just a It wasn't great. It just wasn't great. And so,
Well, but I mean, look at, you guys are begging for that Christian.
No, Dex
Christian
is.
Rock director,
Dex is begging for that.
Like, you had that with Noah. Okay, Dex is wanting that. And you had that in, quote, Noah.
No.
To some people, I'm in a camp who says, I don't want to touch Noah because it's rock monsters and things like that.
Yeah.
Not really God and stuff. But there are those who want to say that this is acceptable and this is my Christian blockbuster.
Well, but here's the question, man. Here's what I got to say. I got to jump in here. I'm sorry. Because, first of all, it wasn't a, quote, Christian blockbuster. It was Darren Aronofsky, who's not a Christian, who never said it was based upon the Bible. It was based upon a comic book. And it was based upon a completely different book that's not even considered. So within the Christian community, it wasn't ever considered a Christian film for those very reasons. You know what I mean? So
but looking at it from the Hollywood perspective, they're shrugging their shoulders saying, you guys are wanting these Christian blockbusters, we're freaking them out. And I think the Christians should be saying, no, we want the blockbusters, but we want them to be doctrinally sound.
But I don't think we're ever going to get that. We're always going to be divided.
Dude, especially talking doctrine. We could go, we're sitting here on Calvary campus. We could go to Legacy and talk doctrine there. We could go to Sagebrush, talk doctrine there. We could go within our own city. There are many different churches who would have different, quote, doctrine. I mean, I'm not talking about the basic foundations of our faith, but I'm talking about the little things so that we would already begin having conversations about doctrine within our own communities. Mm. We'll never get a film that every Christian is going to go, yeah, man, that was doctrinally sound. Look at The Passion of the Christ. Half of it was on the Stations of the Cross, which is Roman Catholic, not even, quote, Christian. And so there were Christians who didn't enjoy that movie for that very reason alone.
Right.
The Passion of the Christ.
The Passion of the Christ.
I'm just saying.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. A lot of people chiming in. 585-LIVE if you'd like to text in or call us at 338-3700.
A member of the Starmy said, you have to look even into the Gospels and the fact that Christ used parables. The reason Jesus used parables was to take real life situations and use those to paint a picture of the gospel. So Christians, be creative in the way that you present the gospel. Use things that reflect the redemption of Christ without necessarily having to say, this is Jesus and how he does it. That's an interesting thought.
Good stuff, guys. Good stuff.
Yes, Sam. Yes.
Sam is so quiet over here.
Yes.
So quiet.
I'm just trying to keep my job.
He's Baptist, guys. He's Baptist.
All right, we'll be right back.
Every year, we strive to bring you only the best Mother's Day song parodies. But some just don't meet the high standards of a quality morning show. Mother's Day just ain't the same. Now that she's older and don't know my name, I take her out, but you don't know why.
keeps asking strangers, who is this guy?
Some were poorly conceived.
Don't stop being mom. Come on now and give me a hug. Your cooking is on par. All day and all night, I love you, mom. Oh, oh.
Others were just downright mean.
So I just have to ask you once more, are you for sure I'm yours?
Oh, oh. And some were simply just a dumb idea.
Last night, out of the blue, called my mother and asked, how are you? Said I hardly hear from you. How come you never call me? I just laughed and said, I don't know. But do you have any cash I could borrow? She said, son, honestly, I was the one who changed your linen. Spent all day cooking in the kitchen.
Happy Mother's Day from the Morning Invasion. We promise to only deliver the best in song parodies.
President Trump signed an executive order calling for a commission to look into alleged voter suppression last year during the election.
Republican Committee Chair Richard Burr asked acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe if he ever heard former Director James Comey tell the president he was not the subject of an investigation.
Can't comment.
The study found a 20% to 50% increase in the risk of a heart attack after taking ibuprofen, naproxen, and other NSAID painkillers for as little as 1 week.
Aetna announcing it's pulling out of healthcare exchanges in two more states, Delaware and Nebraska.
Workers in New Orleans have removed another Confederate monument. The statue of former Confederate President Jefferson Davis has been taken down.
A stamp might cost 50 cents if the Postal Service wins approval to hike the price by a penny.
The U.S. is expected to extend its cabin ban on laptops and other electronic devices.
Fewer workers applied for jobless benefits last week, and the number of people collecting unemployment checks fell to the lowest level since 1988.
Good morning. Hello. Dex and Steve-O. Sam Swan. It is a beautiful Friday here in the Burke. 9:39.
High today of 80 degrees. Traffic. Oh, taking a look at the roads. Good.
Good.
The roads are good. That's your look at traffic.
Thank you very much, Steve-O. Traffic. Big Daddy Weave will be joining us. If you don't know who Big Daddy Wee is,
last night out of the blue.
Oh, wrong one. My bad. That's not Big Daddy Wee. That's good, guys. That's not. That wasn't funny at all. This is Big Daddy Weave right here. They're going to be in town tomorrow. Santa Ana Star Center. Worship Night in America. Chris Tomlin presents. That's going to be a huge show. Sam, are you going?
No.
You're going to go?
I would like to, but my daughter, who is going overseas for the summer on a mission endeavor with Christian Challenge at New Mexico State University, is going to be home this weekend, and she's not going to be home much before she takes off at the first part of the summer. So
goodness,
we're doing a big thing tomorrow evening with her. Her birthday's in July, but she's obviously going to be out of the country in July, so we're going to celebrate her birthday tomorrow.
When's her birthday?
July 1st.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm 21st.
Oh, wow.
16th.
I'm May 21st. That's coming up in just a few days.
Whoa! Man.
I set it out there for the whole world.
38, man.
So I can get
you. 38 years old.
Yes.
That's great, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Mike from Big Daddy Weave. He'll be calling in to talk about the show, and we'll see what they've been up to. I know, when we talked to Zach Williams, part of his story was he was listening to the radio, right? And didn't a Big Daddy Weave song come on?
Yeah.
And that's what changed everything. That's incredible. Man, I tell you, if you missed that interview with Zach Williams, I've been telling you guys, hit the podcast. We interviewed him on Tuesday. And his story is so good. You know, here's a guy who grew up in a Christian home and just had a scholarship to a Division I school, but got into drugs, alcohol, depression. He broke his leg, thought his life was over, and he was mad at God. Things turned around. Big Daddy Weave comes on the radio. Your life is just going to change.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to him. Yeah.
And he started playing guitar.
Yeah.
Because his leg was broken, so he didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, this is going to be a great show. I was, when Chip was in yesterday, our boss came in, and I got to see Chris Tomlin a couple years back, and it was one of the greatest worship experiences I've ever had.
Oh, yeah, cool.
It really was.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I can't remember the last time I felt the presence of God like that. You know, it's rare where you can feel just the love, and you can just know that, oh my gosh, the presence of God is here. You know, yeah. And it was unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah. So if you can go to this show, make it a night where you just go with your family or your wife or your husband, and just worship God. Just forget about all the stuff that's going on in your life and just go and worship God. That's what I did a couple years ago with my wife, and it was life-changing, man. It really was.
Yeah.
It's good. 585 Live if you want to text into the show, or you can call us at 338-3700. Yeah, he's calling us here in just a couple minutes. Anything else on the live line before we move on? And
somebody said you guys have to take into consideration the people just skimming through radio stations, just passing through Stardate. If Dex singing parodies is the first thing they hear, they'll never come back.
Okay, sorry. I don't know if you should have read that one. I mean, it's
so I just have...
Okay. I got them for days, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that really the only thing on the left line?
Okay. Well, everything else would be a can of worms that we just don't have time to unpack.
Well, I get you. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Hi.
Gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I probably called at a really serious time.
And that's okay. Actually, we're 2 minutes away from interviewing Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave.
So we'll probably hang up on you here in a second if the phone line rings.
Yeah, good. Just go ahead and hang up on me. I just wanted to give shout out to Dexy and tell him, excellent job on that song, bro. Brought me to tears.
Well, which one? I had like four of them. I had like four songs.
It's Mother's Day.
Well, which one did you like? Did you like the Journey cover? Did you like the Jimi Hendrix, the Jason Mraz?
I liked all of them except for my favorite was when you said, am I really yours?
Oh.
That was my favorite line.
Well... Yeah.
God
and
bless you.
I have to give a shout out to Stephen Christian again because he did give me the idea for Journey. Don't Stop Being My Mom.
I just feel like you could have had a better song from Journey, and it would have been something like Don't Stop Conceiving, right? Because you wanted a sibling, right?
Yeah.
So because you were like, at the time, you were an only child.
That's good.
And so you needed a sibling.
It's getting warm in the studio.
That's disgusting.
I'm
well, you know, I hope you boys enjoyed being on Tuesday without me, but I'll be back next week.
We missed you, Tam. We missed you.
All right. Missed you back. Pray for me this weekend. It's Mother's Day, guys. I'm going to be dancing on stage, so there's that.
You got it. You got it, Tam.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Quality Tam Tuesdays. Tuesdays at 9 on Star 88.
Okay.
Hang up the phone. Okay. Big Daddy Weave. Mike can be calling us here any second now. We had a crazy show today, man. Amy came in. 7 o'clock hour was a great little conversation we had about fitness and health and just being stuck in that place where we're not motivated to go to the gym. It was a really good discussion.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of us in that place right now where, you know, our New Year's resolutions are over. We've kind of ditched those and life kicked in. Just not motivated. So we had a great discussion with Amy. It's on demand. It'll be up after the show. And we had a great discussion. We talked a little bit about this Christian movie. Well, again, it's not labeled a Christian movie, but it's a rated R film, but has the story of Christ's redemption. But there's a lot of things that most Christians probably wouldn't be okay with. So we discussed that. And if you guys are okay with that, it'll be on demand here in a little bit. Answer that phone. I bet it's Big Daddy Weave. Good morning.
Hey, it's Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave.
Yeah! What are you doing, man?
Dex and Steve-O.
That's us, man!
How are you?
Awesome, man. Dude, we're doing good, man. We're out here on the road, and we're
a little road weary, man, but we're excited to be alive today. It's good.
Good, man. Good. Thank you for coming into town. You're going to be here tomorrow night, Santa Ana Star Center, for Worship Night in America. You guys are playing with some pretty incredible acts. You got Zach Williams, Jason Barton, Chris Tomlin, Phil Wickham, and we're excited, man. A lot of people are pumped about this show.
Oh, man. I've been through the entire tour, basically, and I'm still pumped about it every night, man. It was so rad the other night. Like, Matt Redman surprised everybody and came out the other night, and it was just like, some of these guys are my heroes. You know, Chris Tomlin, man, we love Chris, man. I'm basically a Phil Wickham stalker, you know what I mean?
And it's like, who isn't?
Yeah, dude, I just love that guy, man. Yeah. I've sat out for his set like every night, and I have not been able to get sick of it at all, man. Like, that guy, he sings like an angel. Just him and a guitar just ushers in God's presence like every night. It's so awesome, man. This tour has been amazing, man.
I love that, man. Yeah, we had Zach Williams on the show earlier this week, and I'm sure you've heard his story, because you're a part of his story.
Man, dude, a friend of ours on radio, like, kind of shanghaied me with that story better than a year ago, and I was just completely blown away. And I mean, and since then, you know, Zach came out with Big Daddy Weave in earlier this spring. We played about 30 dates together. And I love Zach so much. Man, God is doing an amazing thing in his life. Man, he has such a gift. And it's crazy, though, that even before he went through, like, kind of the spell where he was running from God and he was doing his thing, man, it was said of him a long time ago, man. There was the preacher that literally, like, kind of dedicated him to the Lord, spoke over him that he would be the voice of a generation.
Wow.
And it's crazy because, I mean, you know, when the enemy does stuff and we do stuff and all that stuff and things get hurt or messed up or it seems like it's all derailed, it's like God still knows what's going on, man. Yeah. You know, and he still has the final word. And I was so humbled to hear that. Every time I hear that story, I'm blown away, man. You know, and Zach, what God's doing through him right now is just incredible.
Yeah, I think it really shows the power of God and just how amazing God is, because we get a little glimpse of that every now and then, how great God is, because
Great is our God, if you will.
Exactly.
Our God.
We'll get an email every once in a while. We're like, oh, I was listening to you guys, and you know, you said this one thing, and it was like, we were probably just being idiots. But God used that to change their, whatever they were going through, their circumstance. And I mean, that's got to be such a great thing for a musician as well, when you hear those stories of, man, I heard you on the radio, and man, it brought me back to my knees. It brought me back to having that relationship with God. It's got to be so rewarding.
It really has been so humbling, man, because honestly, I mean, I didn't even turn that song in, man, Redeemed. You know, God had done this work through that in Zach's life, but that song was just written for me. I wrote that song because I hated myself, and I had this encounter with God in my garage, and that song was literally just closure for me. And then some friends of mine, my friend who helped write the song, Benji Cowart, he started playing it in church, and he was like, man, you know, you need to share this song. And sure enough, to know that something that had been so personal to me could be something that God used in somebody else's life, you know, let alone, man, somebody who God is now using in such a powerful way. And I'm so grateful, dude. I'm so thankful for that. Every time I see Zach sing every night, man, I know kind of because I've got kids, you know, but when I think about what the Lord's done, man, I just can't stop grinning, dude. It's really beautiful.
That's so rad, man.
I love your heart, man. It's so true. It's crazy. So tomorrow night, obviously,
Worship Night in America, going to be huge. We were joking with Zach about this. We're going to try really hard to get in there and see you guys. Obviously, it's a K-Lev show, and we have tattoos, so we gotta be screened at the door. And it's not even like, oh, it's cool, he's got a Jesus fish tattoo. It's like, no, dude, I straight up have a Magneto and Cable Marvel tattoo. So you can't fake a gospel message in a Marvel tattoo. So, yeah. You know, I just don't know how I'm going to get in yet, but... We're really stoked about it.
Dude, hey, man, I'm all about the Marvel, man. So maybe I'll sneak you guys in, dude, somehow. It's like we'll get you in there.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Dude, yes, definitely. So on that, why do you think that's such a, I mean, obviously Guardians of the Galaxy 2 this last week, and as we talk about, like, things in our culture that are rocking our world, it seems like this superhero genre has absolutely taken over. Why do you think that is, Marvel Man?
You know what, dude, honestly, for me, it's because, like, real life, dude, I'm telling you, all my friends, they want to go see some, you know, a movie about, like, you know, this is the giant earthquake movie, or this is the giant, you know, the perfect storm, or all. I'm like, dude, that junk is real. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to deal with that, man. I, you know, give me something where I can check out. And the truth is, though, I think over time, and even seeing what God has done, I think there's an inkling in all of us that there's something more, man, you know, and they, people are hungry for that other thing, that what is more, what is, you know, that supernatural thing, dude. And so whenever I'm watching Marvel, whenever I'm watching Star Wars, whenever I'm watching all of these movies that I geek out over, because I totally am that guy.
Yep.
Like, I just, you know, I just think about, you know, the reality of God and the fact that there is a whole other life that is going on, like, right now, even beyond the scope of what our human eyes can tell, you know? Mm. That literally, there's a battle over each one of our souls, man, you know?
Yeah.
And that's real, and that's real. And that, all of those Marvel things, all of those Star Wars things, I could go on and on and on. It's all of the nerd movies. I love all of them.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And they point me to that unseen world, and I just love it. I love knowing everything about it. It's really beautiful.
That's incredible, awesome. Man. Oh, man. So good.
Big
I wish
Daddy
I know, like, we're coming close already to the end of the show, which stinks, because, man, y'all are doing so much right now. Obviously, Worship Night in America. And then, I mean, talk about your latest offering, if you will. Okay. Let's talk about this, because it's funny as we talk about the unseen and, you know, beautiful offerings, which, I mean, I don't want to ruin it. You talk a little bit about beautiful offerings and what was behind this latest.
Well, you know, man, because when you think about beautiful offerings and you think about us being beautiful offerings, and you see me walk into a room, you're like, I think you misnamed the record, bro.
Oh,
you
know, dude, come on.
It's like, but the thing is that it's what God says about us, you know? That's the story of Redeemed, is that, you know, he looks at what's in the natural and he says, no, 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 that's not how I see it, because my blood makes everything new, man. So he's the beauty in the offering. Our life becomes the offering. And really, I think that's, you know, this record was really just after a season of us seeing God do some really incredible things. There's some really overly ordinary dudes, you know, realizing it had nothing to do with us, but still going, man, God just moved, yeah. You know? Whether it was somebody calling back and God had, you know, the cancer was gone, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whether it was somebody leaving, you know, this million-pound bag of shame and, like, self-hatred, you know, at the show. Yeah. Or, you know, being able to forgive that person who, you know, who had hurt them so long ago and that had haunted and defined their life for so long. Like, God did those things. And I think that the rest of, I knew that at that moment, you know, music is wonderful. I still can't believe we get to do this for our job. I feel like at any point somebody's going to call and tell us we got to get a real job or whatever. You know? But dude, it's like I could leave the music. I want to be around what God's doing the rest of our life. And then the Lord shows me that
It doesn't have to be in a concert.
Yeah.
You know, it can happen. It can happen in Walmart, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, even Walmart.
Yeah.
Even Walmart, man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like literally our whole life becomes an opportunity to be yielded to a greater thing that God wants to do through us. You know.
Beautiful.
And we got attacked. We got attacked after that, especially. Man, my brother went through such a rough time this last year, man. We almost lost him, dude. And he plays bass for Big Daddy Weave. Man, I saw God use him over the last 5 years in a way that literally he became one of my heroes. You know, my brother is a jokester, and he used to just be the guy who always had something dumb to say. Then Jesus started waking him up at 4 o'clock in the morning, man. And when I hung out with him after that, I was like, man, you really have been hanging out with God, because I know you don't have this one in you. You know what I mean? I know you don't have this kind of stuff in you. And then the Lord just began to do incredible things everywhere that my brother went, man. And so this last year, because of infection in his leg, dude, that went crazy, he had to have both of his feet amputated. And literally, we almost lost him, dude. When the doctor said we were 48 hours away from losing him.
Wow.
But seeing my brother deal with that situation and seeing the Lord and the way he showed up in the middle of literally the darkest days in the life of our family is incredible. You'd think it was this kind of thing that pushes you away from the Lord.
Yeah.
I sat in the hospital room with my brother, man, when just things looked so bleak. And, man, the peace of God showed up there in such a real way. Man, there's no way that can happen. You know, that's not a natural response, you know?
Yeah.
That's the supernatural response. That's the presence of God, man. He's with us in all of our junk, man. He's with us, I think, even in a more real way, because we can turn to him in a different way when we're in our greatest need, man. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy, the beautiful offering thing. It's how the Lord turns what the enemy's trying to do on its head, because he thinks, look, this is how I get them. But really, when we find ourselves in the place of greatest need, we can see how much we need Jesus.
Mm.
We cry out to him. We encounter him in those times in a greater way than on the good days. And then you realize just how real he is because of what you've been through.
Yeah. Dang, beautiful. Dude.
This kills me, because we are up against the end of our show.
We're done. That was so awesome.
You've
got
to call back, man. We would love to hang out with you, because we do things a little differently here. You know, we're the Lone Wolf station that's playing Mumford and talking about R-rated films and redemption. And so, dude, we would love to have you back on the show to talk more about this. Because
Thanks, Mike.